What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of The Jane Austen Podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode of Mother May I Sleep With Podcast is brought to you in part by the Lifetime Movie Club, the ultimate streaming destination for Lifetime movie lovers. Choose from 100 movies at any time, with new movies rotated in weekly to keep things fresh. And you can watch anywhere on your favorite device. As a bonus, listeners of this podcast get an exclusive one-month free trial. Go to lifetimemovieclub.com/malls to start your free month now. That's lifetimemovieclub.com/MOLLS. Welcome to Season 3 of Mother May I Sleep With Podcast. I'm your host, Molly McAleer.
Simon, did you play a role in Britney's death?
Was there an autopsy performed? What kind of drugs was she?
Simon, had she been ill at all?
Were there prescription medications?
Simon, what killed Britney?
You did. You all killed her.
Tragic and shocking.
Did she have a history of a heart condition?
What other medication was being taken?
Reporting that the 32-year-old actress had
stopped. The loss of this seemingly healthy young actress has stunned the
entertainer. The coroner said Murphy had collapsed.
Toxicology reports could take weeks.
Okay, you guys, we have today a guest that we haven't even started this for over an hour since she's been here because we just have so much to say. And a lot of it had to happen off mic, but it's also probably going to happen on mic. You guys, it's someone that I love so much. We met on the internet. We then went to a Miley
Cyrus
concert.
Years ago, let's not act like it happened like last week.
No. We've known each other.
It's been like 10 years.
I hope the audience could tell in the warmth of my voice that I've known you for, I feel so fondly about you. You guys, it's Winter Mitchell.
Hi, guys.
Hi, honey.
I'm thrilled to be here. Are you kidding?
We're both smoking cigs. We're both just in it. Okay.
And in the vodka.
This is Hollywood, baby. Now
And on Monday.
On a Monday.
God damn.
A Monday is like a Friday in this house.
Sure.
But like by that, I mean, won't take the rest of the week off,
fine.
But like, this is my fun.
Or maybe you will. Who cares?
This is my fun day.
I like it.
So I had you on to discuss the Brittany Murphy story because you and I both worked in celebrity gossip at the time. You worked for a much more prestigious publication than me. You worked for Us Weekly.
Us Weekly.
And the Brittany Murphy death has a lot of just stuff surrounding it. It's a very fascinating death. And this is a fascinating Lifetime movie, I said to myself in the shower, Molly, you can pick one. You can be famous or you can never die, but you can't be famous and die because they will make a really fucking bad Lifetime movie about you. They've done everyone dirty. Britney, still alive, wasn't done well. Britney Murphy, done really dirty. Aaliyah, done very dirty. Whitney, done very dirty.
Incredibly dirty.
So dirty. By the way, do you know Wendy Williams considers that her preferred Whitney, like, account?
Of all the Whitneys out there?
She was like, you can go see the new documentary. It'll be okay. I like the Lifetime version, though.
And she would say that. She would say that.
But here we are discussing Brittany Murphy. Now, I want to talk to you really quickly before we even get in. Because, like, let's just, the audience, there's certain people who are here for this. T, how do you think she died, really? And do you think there was, like, foul play?
I'm looking at the movie again. And this, you know, I watched it recently as assigned. And I've seen it when it first came out, upon rewatch, there's no way for me to see that the foul play was obvious. I feel like it was just a series of horrible missteps.
Okay.
So I feel like she already had a heart condition.
Yes.
She was running at a pace occasionally that maybe wasn't sustaining
right
what she was capable of,
and she also very likely had an eating disorder, which
the eating disorder I think is something that people don't talk about enough because there wasn't enough verified evidence of it other than photos. But I think that was an era where everybody wasn't eating. They were going out.
That was very much the time.
That was very much a time. And we'll talk about it more, but in the movie, they make so many subtle references to it, but
it was rough.
It was rough for her. And it was, well, I'm sure we'll talk about more, but it was rough for her in the era in which she was evolving and she was coming of this sort of celebrity and this famedom that I think that she felt like she had to acquiesce to a certain standard, which looking back now, I can't even believe given where we are in 2018 and right. how we're so, you know, we're fat positive, we're curve positive. We want big butts. We want big booties. We want darker skin. We want all these things. It was actually really shocking and jolting to watch a movie where she was being held to this aesthetic that's not really the aesthetic anymore.
I would say I first watched it like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. And then it was pretty like, I mean, I've always really, really loved and had a special place in my heart for Brittany Murphy. Like, yeah. I think everyone who grew
underrated
up
and really talented.
Super talented. And I don't want to be like a cliche, but like I came home every single day for 2 years and rewound my Clueless VHS. I'm going to watch it 1 to 2 times every single day after school. And like my mom delighted in it. Like she never like tried, like we both loved that movie and loved Brittany Murphy so much. And so just to like kind of look back, especially to see like how she was portrayed when she was quote unquote bigger, which like if you look back, she was never like a big girl.
She wasn't a big girl. And I think, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, but like when Clueless came out, I was exactly that age where they were in Clueless. And
I was like 12. Yeah.
Yeah. I was 16, 17. And I think that she was a standout for a lot of reasons because you needed a character in that movie who wasn't aligned with the status quo.
Right.
And you wanted her to win and you wanted her to do sort of the off-kilter things or say the off-color remarks that she makes in that movie. And, you know, Clueless is 20 years now since that movie came out. So, oh my God, I was probably almost 18. And I think about Clueless a lot recently in the last year because I think about everybody that came from that movie and who would have still been positioned as the star. And shockingly, it would have to me, if Brittany had still been here, if she were still here, Brittany would have still been like the bigger star.
And she was. And like, she was. For the entirety of her life after this movie, she was working more than Stacey Dash, Breckenmeyer, Alicia Silverstone for sure. Like, I mean, all those people kind of like faded off.
Well, they all crumbled. They all crumbled under the pressures that she was the most concerned about.
Right. And like, you know, looking back too, like Alicia Silverstone and Stacey Dash, like they were both literal fucking models when they were found for this job. So like anyone who had... I hesitate to even call her body normal because it wasn't. Like, it was still – Brittany was still on the slender side of any sort of
she was still on the slender
world.
Side, but I keep thinking about when Alicia was chosen to be Batgirl. And they called her Fat Girl. Like, I remember thinking to myself, she's curvy.
Yeah.
And today, she'd be an Instagram model.
Yeah, she was voluptuous. I mean, maybe, honestly, a size 6.5 at best, which is still insane. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like she had it – Alicia had it worse because she was on a bigger stage. But Brittany was kind of unassuming and more – I think they positioned her to be much more of a character actress.
Yes.
But she emerged and evolved from that. You look at all – I went through her IMDb today just to reference and I was thinking about like, man, she was – a very memorable role in a lot of memorable or forgettable movies.
Right.
You know, like, so there's, it's interesting the way she treated her acting career. She basically, in the film kind of, it shows this example, but she basically knew that she had to be something.
She couldn't be an ingenue. She had to be like a meaningful little trinket.
Yes. And, but then at the same time, she wanted to retain the element of, you know, she wanted to be a nymph without having to look the nymph part. And she wanted to be an ingenue without having to look the ingenue part. And she was trading a lot of things. And she made a lot of accommodations for what she was being presented by this brutal ass town.
Yeah.
And even then she was, even when she made the decision and made the choice to marry that really,
by the way, what the fuck? Like, this is actually Lifetime did us a favor as an audience for the first time in years because they always choose someone that's like a little bit hotter than they should be. Simon Monjak in this movie is even like worse than IRL Simon Monjak, which is still impossible. Pretty bad. Like, it's still, yeah, Simon Monjak's pretty bad. By the way, this does oddly mirror Brittany and Adnan, which will come up later on in this. But like, it's another guy that's like, except you're a paparazzi.
Adnan would steal her out of her house in the valley and take her to like East LA, which I can talk about that era too, because I was at Us Weekly. We will definitely get into that because I want to talk about
the paparazzi era of that, because it's just it's such a different climate now, and I don't think people like credit enough to.
They don't know how bad it was. No, looking they back, don't. It's actually frightening.
It was, I have to say, it was like working in gossip at that time was like literally just like having a fucking crack cocaine shot into your veins.
Pretty much.
It was like, it was nonstop.
You wake up high. It was 2 hours into your high, your crack phase.
And if you're like an adrenaline junkie, like that was the place to be working. Oh my God. It was just like every day was something else. So I told you a theory that I was told about Britney shortly after she died that I don't think could be true. Like, the more I think about it, as much as I'm trying to like make like fetch happen here, I don't think this is the case. But like, someone did come to me after and was like, who I consider like a solid person. And they were like, what, like, do you think that she died of HIV or AIDS? And I was like, why would you ever, like, why would you think that? And they were like, well, she was like apparently doing H like up until she died. She was like having a lot of anonymous sex. She marries this guy. She dies in a peculiar circumstance of pneumonia. And then the guy dies 5 months later. Like, and I remember at the time being like, okay, like this is enough to like slightly entertain it, but like probably not.
She didn't have enough money to block that.
Right. And like,
especially in that era, Ed Winter, what was his name? He was the coroner. Ed Winter, whom I had
you
to
know
talk
his
to.
Name. I love that.
I had to talk to him all the time.
Yeah.
I believe Ed Winter. I believe that he was kind of like, interested in being on camera, but I also feel like if he knew she had HIV, he was ready to let Harvey know that immediately.
Right.
And I also believe that Harvey plays favorites and probably would have protected that information for a large sum.
Sure.
So there's, it could be true. It could be not true.
There are a lot of rumors around like whether or not her mom was involved. There's also rumors about black mold in the house. I guess apparently, according to her father, a large amount of metal was found in her system when she passed away. Her father had the toxicology reports like cross-referenced by an outside guy. Mm-hmm. And they were able to rule that most of the metal in her system came from her hair, getting her hair dyed, which... I mean, if there's that amount of metal, then like, wouldn't most of us have that, especially in LA?
I mean, I get a keratin every 3 months. Should I be dying soon?
Honey, I don't know. But they said like the metal was explainable by the hair dye. It wasn't the hair dye that killed her.
She was in an era that was, you know, let's even go back to the fact that she lived in Brittany and Justin's old house, party house, which has its own ghosts. I mean, that house has seen so many things.
I couldn't stop but like thinking about one, like her and Ashton together, and how I've never been more annoyed by a guy in a Lifetime movie since Justin Timberlake. So number one, because Ashton was so fun. Like they literally like did him the job he probably deserves. Right.
Perfectly. Look, Ashton knows, which is why you'd never see Ashton now. Ashton knows what he was up to, what he was
doing. He's a quirky little weirdo.
He's a quirky little weirdo. Yeah. And I think that he's also an Aquarius.
Yeah.
So he's also the kind of guy where I know he had feelings for her and I know he felt deeply.
Oh, he loved her, I think.
He loved her.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think that. I'm saying like, just like the parallel of like, these two annoying ass couples lived in this house.
Yeah.
And then the fact that also that like to think back, if things had gone differently, if Wade Robinson wasn't America's sliding doors moment and Brittany and Justin had stayed in that house, if it was black mold, can you imagine our prince and princess being taken down by black mold that was in that house?
There was documentation, right? Of black mold, right? They have
the documentation. I believe so. Yeah. I mean, like I was reading a bunch of stuff today. Like, listen, we're not journalists tonight. We're off the clock. Like, this is just some spilling tea.
I'm always
but,
a
journalist. There was definitely, good for you. good for you and your ethics. I did not take that oath. And like, I will say that I do not know for sure, but like there's controversial paperwork about everything. Like, Basically, the most confirmed thing I could find is that Tyler Henry, teenage medium, thought he was talking to Jamie Presley about her. Like, that's like all, that's the most probably confirmed thing.
What connection does Jamie Presley have with Brittany Murphy?
I don't know, but like, she was like, that's my friend Brittany. Like, the second that,
Jamie.
So I will say it does seem like a lot of stuff is really up in the air in terms of like.
I'll never forget the fact that she announced her pregnancy with a Clear Blue sponsorship.
You know what? God bless. And like,
how much was it?
Hashtag, I wish it was me.
How much
like, by the way,
was it?
That's the other thing. Like, most of the people who do that are people on The Bachelor. But I want to show you one. It is true. Like, it's like Jamie Presley and then like
Corinne
Jade
Olympias.
From The Bachelor. Exactly. Right. So I want to show
She's
you this one other thing too, which is that watching this movie, I had some questions about the rumors around Simon and her mom maybe having a thing before or after. But I do want to show you this. This was sent to me by Aw Dog. Hi, Aw Dog. I told people that I might be sharing their theories.
Yeah.
This was the poster or the picture that Simon and her mom took to commemorate Britney's loss.
I saw it. I can't even look at it again.
Okay, so is this her and Girl Interrupted?
No, that feels like that era. It also feels very Sin City era, too.
Okay, so it's Britney with like a black... She looks like my hair in 2009.
It's much more of a
90s... Short brunette bob. She's wearing smeared... She looks like me on a morning in like 2009. She has smeared eye makeup, red lips that are smeared. She's on the floor, like clutching her feet, holding a cigarette. So she looks basically like as bad as a person can look.
Can look.
In a picture. And
worse
this is the picture...
Worse than Carrie Bradshaw on the cover of New York.
It's like that, but worse.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
And it's her mom and Simon holding this picture up, like to be like, we miss our girl. And that is a really weird editorial choice.
I remember that was announced. I remember that was announced. That photo was used during, I feel like, an expose. So I do think that they were paid to be
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'll be honest with you. I think this is much more financial than it is just nefarious.
Because her mom sold all of her shit at auction when she died, which is...
Her mom wasn't into this. Her mom just kind of played along and did what she had to do. But I don't think the mom was 100% sold Kris Jenner style into the lifestyle that it was. She kind of went along with it because it kept her paid. It kept her up her medical bills. But it wasn't like a lifestyle that she could see herself maneuvering in and actually controlling on the behalf of Britney.
Right. She's not sophisticated.
No.
Basically.
Which is actually it was kind of adorable.
It was lovely. And I think this is like a nice segue into this because I think that, I mean, if we're going to really look at it, I think that Britney's mom was always in over her head and like struggled with like a very like magnetic child. I don't think she wanted to be riding on the tails of a child star, but she wound up doing that and then didn't know what to do. And I think that Britney's mom's problem
too
the whole
naive
time, she didn't
for
know
the
what
world.
To do.
Exactly. Didn't know what to do.
This is nice because we get to open up on this movie where it's really lovely. And I want to get into that in a second, but I do quickly want to say first that Britney does have this classic child star thing where a lot of child stars do this before they fall off the rails, which is like when they go out and they're like, why didn't you fall into the traps of like Hollywood's like party scene? And they're like, I'm a mama's girl. I stay at home. I'm a homebody. What can I say? Like they all say that, right? And then they like go full binds, right? That's not a joke about mental illness, by the way. Like, I just mean, like, when people, like, are on one street and then they turn a corner.
Right.
So we open up this movie with tweets of celebrities mourning their death. And, like, at the time that she died, social media was still pretty new. Alicia Silverstone says, got very sad news of Brittany Murphy. So sad. Then we go to Paris Hilton tweeting about her. And she says, so sad to hear about Brittany Murphy. Such a tragedy. Sad face. Like, parentheses.
I'm glad you brought this up first.
Pre-emoji?
Watching old Twitter unfurl
in
an intro.
Like, I was triggered.
Triggered the fuck
I was
out
triggered.
Of me.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, we've come so far and Twitter has only really made it okay to use emojis in the last 5 or 6 years.
Especially because...
People knowing what to do on Twitter.
Yeah. No, I mean,
and
like, Alicia Silverstone saying, got very sad news of Brittany Murphy, so sad. Like, no one's a publicist would ever let them send that.
No.
Like, she said sad twice in 4 words.
No, but also just, like, everybody now has to say five or six different things, or six different tweets, and be a little bit more effusive. And, you know, that was Alicia Silverstone. That's basically, to me, Alicia Silverstone's tweet was, somebody told me that she died. I was like, huh. And then I got on Twitter.
That's her in real time, real reaction, right?
That was her. That was her opening up. What did it used to be called? The
tweet deck?
Tweet deck. And going in the tweet deck on her BlackBerry and being like, yeah, that was sad.
So wait, should we tell the audience really quickly that you are like a social media manager for celebrities? So you have a unique, spin on that, yes, where it's that you really have tracked this.
Yes. I mean, I'm just going to say, like, I don't, here's the deal. I always have to say this because people think that a social media manager is that person online.
Right.
And it's evolved. The world, you know, 10 years ago, yes, that probably would have been me on there tweeting for Alicia Silverstone and being kind of weird about it.
Because celebs didn't want to be on Twitter.
They didn't want to. I mean, remember when it launched, they just did not want to. I actually wrote one of the first articles about it in tabloids. I wrote for OK Weekly at the time when it launched. And I interviewed Jack about it. Jack and Evan on a call. I'll never forget that call because they'd never spoken to a tabloid reporter.
Really?
So they were very much like, well, we're so accustomed to being like CNBC, Forbes type people.
Right.
We don't know what to say to us. I said, this is not that hard. This is much more, this is like, basically just tell me how many people are the biggest, give me the biggest numbers online of your users, celebrity wise. And let's talk about how
you're
fun
trying
Twitter
to fluff
is.
Their nuts that
fluff
day.
Fluff their nutsack that day. They were really happy about that. They didn't get any hard questions. They were so, I'm not even going to lie, Malls. They were like so calm after end of it. Cause when they saw it, I sent it to them. They're like, thank you.
Cause they're really just probably standard dudes that are like, what, tabloid? Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what I would do if someone called me from a tabloid. I'd be like, a tabloid.
2007.
Right.
So we're like, 2008. They were like, they didn't know. All they knew is that OK was the biggest at the time tabloid around the world because it had all these issues all over the world. And they were just excited to be exposed. But I feel like, as a social media manager, it's evolved for me because, you know, my clients are huge and the amount of obligations they have to partners and the amount of obligations they have to their networks or studios, it becomes one of those things. And no, I'm not
it
naming
it became a business in the meantime.
It's a business and I'm not shitting on any studio or network, but you know, they have a job to do and their job is they don't really talk to the talent as much as I do.
Right.
So I know the talent's voice, intonation, intention.
Yes.
So I know how to communicate that messaging with,
right,
by working with my client. And before it was like, I don't know how to open this app or I don't know my password. And now it's social media management has become a much more robust
world.
So
like, let's say you had an Alicia Silverstone on your team, which you don't, but like if you did have her, like let's say that she got the news that Brittany Murphy died, would she send you a proof of a tweet being like, hey, this is what I'm going to tweet about this death?
I've had a couple of notable deaths happen in the last 2 years. And I want to say this is interesting that I've noticed a change within my clientele is that there was that after 2016, nobody wanted to talk about death anymore.
Of course.
Nobody wanted to notate, announce, or they just didn't want to highlight the negativity. It scared them. And I think there's a sense of mortality that you have to face because a lot of my clients are a little bit older.
Right.
And I actually love having older clients because there's a lot more to do with them and they also have legacy and they're iconic.
Yeah.
Right. But my younger clients, they feel like they have to respond to every single thing. And I think it's capable to step in and be like, you know, this is a big deal. I'm not saying this person isn't a big deal, but I'm saying, do you have a connection or are you just jumping on bandwagon?
Right.
Because there's also the notion of just jumping on a bandwagon just to be able to say it. Unless this personally affects you, like unless if Brittany Murphy died today, unless like Little Black Book was your favorite weekend rainy day movie, there's no reason for you to get involved in here. Just, you know, we've moved past the reportage of, so-and-so didn't remember how the Kardashians would tweet about something else because they weren't invited to the Golden Globes.
Right.
We're past that. That's actually not important. So we need to talk more about what's really facing everybody today. So I think that, you know, my clients are, and I've encouraged them and I've focused them on talking about your life. And if you, given the news cycle every day is
triggered towards Trump.
Yeah.
You have to find a way to identify and create your own brand outside of having to be responsible for answering to this bullshit every day.
Yeah.
Because every time they dive into that world, it becomes like, are you going to follow up? Well, are you going to be consistent? Well, are you going to yell at him about this? Or you're going to have a bunch of people that are going to be like, fuck you. I don't want to hear your opinion about this.
Yeah.
So it's a catch 22 either way you cut it. So I'm really focused in 2018. And I stated the case from the beginning of the year with all of my clients. We're focusing on you as an artist, as a brand, as an individual with a life.
Right.
And not focusing on all this other stuff, because we've been through a year. 2017 was the year of just letting him spout craziness and getting the alt-right and left riled up. That's old and dated to me. I'm actually, in my mind, I'm already thinking about 2019.
Well, I'm going to skip me as an artist right now and not read Lindsay Lohan's tweet, because if you want to, you have to watch the movie if you want to find out. We have to watch the movie. You want to find them. We'll go to Ashton's tweet that says, number two day, lost the world a little piece of sunshine. My deepest condolences go out to number two, Britney's family, her husband, and her amazing mom, Sharon. So we see tons of headlines are hitting the screen. Right. And Simon Monjack, in the very first moment of the screen, or the movie, screamed at the screen, "It was you. You killed her. All of you killed her," to like the paparazzi. Okay, great. So we see the Brittany Murphy story, and it's a press conference outside of Brittany's home. So Brittany's mom starts to deliver the speech. It says, "From the day of her birth, Brittany was my precious angel. There's never been anyone or anything that means more to me in this universe. I raised her alone. We didn't always have a lot at first. We'll never finish this speech, but this is where we transition to her growing up in New Jersey. So let's go there."
Hey, Ma. So what happened is you filled out a raffle ticket. Yeah, and... Hello?
Huh? I hope your day's been going better than mine.
It was okay. Ready to go?
Can't you just take one day off, baby, please?
Ma, no, please.
Honey, I cannot get away. Not until I make at least one of these appointments. I have to.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see what we can do about that.
Oh.
Alyssa Cooper. Hmm.
No one over the age of 20, maybe 25, is named Alyssa. I mean, she's a young bride.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. What? Brit.
Hi, Alyssa. My name is Sharon. Sharon Murphy. No, no, you don't, but you are not going to believe this. You remember that card that you filled out at the bridal show last week? Yeah, well, congratulations.
Done.
You are really something. What would I do without you?
Well, you would sell a lot less china, crystal, and... What is it?
A cookware!
Can we go now?
Yes!
So her mom was a telemarketer. I've done jobs like that. Not that, but like raising funds for my school. It is hard to cold call people, but that is a fucking hustle, dude.
I'm just trying to correlate... When I watched this scene, what the relationship truly was between Sharon and Brittany. Who was mom?
Because, like, my mom was, like, a single mom like Sharon, but she was a housekeeper. So, like, she, like, worked. Like, if my mom was at home, like, playing on the phone all day, like, trying to hustle people in that way.
What are you doing?
I mean, I just wouldn't expect anything from my life. Like, I definitely wouldn't have a Hollywood dream. I'll tell you that much. Like, my mom...
And
like,
she wasn't even really that supportive of her, if you look,
right. Like, you know? Her mom definitely, like, wanted her to be a kid. But I also think Sharon, if I'm looking back on this and, like, I'm taking all this into account, because what we will see is that Brittany's at an audition or at a play practice, like, some sort of community theater thing. I think she went to a school for performing arts. Like, I just don't think Sharon... thought that big. Like, no. I don't think she dreamed what was possible the way that Brittany kind of just always inherently had this feeling that she was going to be this bigger thing.
I don't think she saw much in life up to that point.
Exactly. Like, which unfortunately I think is the thing with like a lot of single moms, they get their like lives and dreams cut off early.
So what's the difference between Sharon Murphy and LeBron James's mom?
If I had to guess... It was that he was a boy.
There.
Fair play. If I had to guess, I would say it's because like he goes out and he plays basketball. Like, okay, my son's playing basketball. That's palpable. But like your daughter being an actress, like you might not know she's capable of that till someone comes up and says, hey, I want to give your daughter a job. Because you as a single mom have never had anyone come up to you and say, hey, you're worthy of something. Yeah. Here's a job. Here's this. And like, by the way, like I don't even say that in like a clever way. Like that just hit me too. Like where I was like, honestly, the difference is because like I had a single mom too. Like she taught me to stay like, you know, she, you know, very much educated, very much all this stuff. Like she put, like my whole life was getting into college before I got into college.
Because that was the, you're from Massachusetts, like Harvard right down the road. Like that's exactly what the made the most sense. It was like, a logical conclusion.
It was definitely like Molly's a crazy dream chaser when I came out here. My mom is like very beautiful, has a lot of ambitions, very artistic, but like I don't think that, and I always say this for myself, I did not know till I was out here for 8 years that I could even be a TV writer. Like I didn't know to dream that realistically because I didn't think it was for me. I didn't think that it applied to me. So
I will say that I'm not surprised by your entire trajectory.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I guess. I mean like I should be more successful. I haven't, I could have done more in my younger
years. I didn't mean, I meant
that's
like
me. That's just me being me.
No, that's just you being you. I'm saying that I'm not surprised by your entire trajectory because I think it makes complete sense and it's a complete Hollywood story, which we don't have many Hollywood stories anymore. You know, I would love to hear about more stories about Winona Ryder dropping off her belongings that Johnny Depp gave to her.
I would love to hear that.
At the crossroads in the valley. One of five reasons I moved down to Los Angeles. I'll reveal the rest as we go through this podcast.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So where we are right now is that Sharon, her mom, is talking to another girl's mom at this, like, I don't know what it is. They're like doing some playhouse thing. And they're like, they're dressed like pirates or George Washington. I can't decide what they're doing. But this guy in his 20s is just like watching in the back of the room. And her best friend, Morgan, who I only mention her because she does come back more times than I thought she would, is very pretty and actressy. And her mom says that Morgan wants to go into the city and audition for soap operas. And Brittany's mom's like, no, just let them have fun. They're kids, which goes to show, I think, what I was kind of saying, where she didn't really have a business mind for what she's doing.
Because she's no Kris Jenner.
If you're going to have your kid and like, all, like an acting school and like going to all these different things, like you probably are trying to market them, like at least get something out of your investment. So this man in his 20s, which by the way, no one thought was weird. And said, like, why is this man in his 20s watching our teenage daughters? Like,
looking like he's 4 years ahead of time, by the way.
He comes up and he's like, hey, I do commercial auditions in the city. Like, I really want your daughter to come in for this commercial. And Brittany's like, I'll do it. And then her mom's like, go away. So her mom turns to him and is like, usually people come up for Morgan, not her. Which I thought was like, okay, high key shady. Like, maybe just accept your daughter's like a character actress. Like, you don't need to be like, why is she not like my, you know, her skinny blonde ingenue friend? And he's like, no. Like, we can get a pretty actress. Like, we need someone that's good like her. So Brittany winds up booking not just this commercial, but a ton of commercials.
I would love to see the commercials.
I know, me too, because apparently,
you know, pizza was one of them.
We see a little title card come out. This is 6 months later. So we know that in this time, when we cut to it, Brittany's in her like very 90s room where there's like that acting mask on the corner, like the drama faces.
Yeah, comedy drama.
And she's wearing her little like T-shirt under a floral dress with a vest over it.
Very Blossom.
And her mom's like, I can't write you another note for school. Like, you can't keep missing school. She's like, well, I am going to because I'm an actress now and we should move to LA. And I was like, Brittany, what are you thinking of? Like, we couldn't do this. And for the amount of commercials that they were describing her getting, I was surprised that they were both still in the living situation they were in and also delightfully like,
you know,
surprised
that was
by
the mom
it.
Though the mom was like, let's save this checks.
I hoped, like, that's what I hoped. I was like, if you they know, had been moving on up and they were in a nicer place.
Well, you know, her mom is reasonable. She's Jersey.
Yeah.
She's like, well, they were just spend everything.
Three commercials in a day, I guess, at one point, which is crazy.
Crazy. I don't know anybody now today who does that.
Right. So that made me wonder, like, what the income was. And I do, the next thing we'll see is I do have another income question coming up. But, like, I was, like, kind of like, okay, what are they making here realistically that they feel like they can, as we'll see in a minute, move to LA, but also haven't moved up their station in life, but also she's doing so well that this is a viable dream now. So we all of a sudden hear NKOTB, Step by Step, a
true
banger.
I want to say something about that. Step by Step is a underrated single from New Kids on the Block.
It's so good. I'm from Boston, so you know I'm an NKOTB girl.
And I was too.
Yeah.
Having been from San Francisco at the time. And by the time they were falling off, which is right when Step by Step came out.
Right.
I was a huge proponent for that single. And it did okay.
Yeah.
It did fine. But it wasn't, it was basically the beginning of the end for them.
Yeah.
And so to play,
I that felt was their second album, right?
That was their second album. And I just felt like, it might have been their third, but I just felt like that song wasn't played long enough in this montage.
I agree. And it was, I will say, for a Lifestyle movie, they got two songs in this movie. They got Lifestyles with the Rich and Famous from Good Charlotte. And they got this, which is 100% more songs than you ever get in a Lifestyle movie.
That was probably a third of their budget.
Totally. Totally. And like this, I thought this was a great choice. Yeah. I was surprised because I didn't, it really dated it.
Yes.
Where I was like,
it kept me into it, even though I kept being dragged out.
The only thing that dragged me out was to be like, oh, was Brittany Murphy like trying to make it happen when this song came out? Because to me, I always remember them as being like very 1989. And this was like the early 90s.
But Britney, this goes back to who Britney was. She wasn't out and about, like on the scene, like a gangster lean. Did I say that right? I said it wrong.
Maybe.
I'm older. she was on the scene like a gangster lean. Anyway, I'm not going to try that again. It was definitely a girl who was like, you know, this is what I listened to back then. This is what I was interested in back then. They use a song that kind of felt like that era.
Yeah.
It definitely felt the era.
They were punching us back to that era with that song. They were trying to say,
keep us in the moment because they, I will say this movie took liberties on time lapsing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that they were trying to put us on a time track with this song. And for me,
but they were playing around with the time track to the time changing and the lapsing. So this was, you know, it felt very 90210 for them to get out there. And, you know, I'm sure season one, 90210, they talked about New Kids on the Block in a very major way. I'm sure they were a central part of an episode. They showed up on an episode, right? Or am I wrong? I'm probably
they
wrong.
They were hotties. I will tell you this, though. So Brittany and her mom ate at a diner, and I wanted to know that we're going to cut to that. And, like, they're in L.A., and they're struggling. They've
I feel
had,
like it was Cafe they've 101 had on Franklin.
So I was going to say, I didn't know what diner this was. I was wondering the whole time, because I was like, it was run down. It looked so run down. Like, to say it looked run down is like an understatement. I was like, is this Dupars? Is this Swingers? Like, what is this supposed to be? Probably Cafe 101. You're right. So this is the diner. This diner is like their like
it won't
spot.
Be. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
It won't be Swingers because Swingers
is too cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was definitely like Cafe 101.
No, it was Cafe 101, or I was thinking maybe like a Dupars in the Valley.
Sure, fine.
Right?
Sure, fine.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, like, I would love it if
or
it
a
was...
Big Boy.
Okay. So they were at this diner, and this diner is like a central location. That's the only reason why we highlight it so much. And this diner is like the place they go every year when Britney has her 1 year anniversary. But right now they're at the 6 month mark, and Britney's like, her mom's like, it's probably time to go home. But Britney's like, you know what? No. I just saw an advertisement. It's for Murphy Brown. Brittany Murphy, what are the odds? So she books the job. She winds up on the job. Then they go home. They're watching it, you know, whatever, TV magic. It's actually like 6 months later. And she's like, you know what? Between this and my part on Drexel's Class, I'm killing it. So
starring the amazing and the brilliant Dabney Coleman.
Yes. So she's killing it on Drexel's Class as a regular. She's also killing it on Murphy Brown with a one line. And she decides to buy herself. She's on her cell phone, which is a bold move for the time, on her cell phone. And she says to her friend Morgan back home, she's like, hey, you got to come visit. She's like, I just bought a house in Sherman Oaks. And I wrote here, like, this does not seem like a good financial move. Like, I don't know how she thought she was going to be able to afford a mortgage.
The house in Sherman Oaks. Let's just talk about it. The house in Sherman Oaks in that era... First of all, Sherman Oaks is still to this day semi-luxury for the...
Oh, I think of Sherman Oaks as like so fucking nice. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I love my friends at Sherman Oaks.
I mean, let's not forget, George Clooney still has a house in Studio City.
Right.
I could never get a boy like that. Or I could never get a boy like that. Which one? Which one's better?
Oh, I don't know, sweetie. They're both great.
You're totally not helping me out here. Okay, I only get one shot.
Britt, you're putting way too much pressure on yourself, okay? I mean, if you don't get this role, you'll go back to Sister Sister. And you might even get your own TV show. You have options now.
Sitcoms?
are really fun and all. But if I got clueless...
If you got clueless, what? The world would open up to you. Everyone would love you. You'd be famous. What is this really all about?
I am telling you, Cher, it is all I can do to talk to any of you guys. I could never get a point.
Thank you.
I have two more speeches prepared.
We've heard enough. Thank you.
I could play it straight, more heartfelt, earnest.
Oh, that won't be necessary.
Murphy residence. Yes, she's... hold on, okay? 1 second.
Your agent.
Hey, Rick.
Brittany, I just talked to the producers. They loved you.
What?
Guess what? You got the part.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. You got the part, kid.
No, that is so awesome.
We'll call you on Monday with all the details.
Okay, we'll talk Monday. Thank you. Oh.
What?
I freaking got it. Clueless. I am going to be in a real movie, Mom.
Okay. Hey, calm down. Remember your heart.
My baby girl's going to be a movie
star.
So we're at the Warner Brothers lot, right? Is that what that is?
Yeah, that is definitely that WB right there, Warner Brothers.
It's January 1995, and we're watching the makeover scene get filmed, which I have to say, as a Clueless lover, was like pretty iconic to see get reenacted.
Absolutely. It was in the trailer.
They had Cher and Dion in their original outfits. Alicia Silverstone was in that like iconic maroon dress. Mm-hmm. And wild choice for the actress who played Amy Heckerling, by the way. Did you notice that?
I did.
She just looked like a stay-at-home mom that was like fucking killing it. Like,
I need to see it because it totally...
Right? Okay.
I know what... And when you say Amy Heckerling, I'm thinking of a specific vision image.
Well, she's
and
Miss Geist.
I would have noticed...
Like, it's very difficult to believe that the woman who also played Miss Geist was also the director of this movie under these circumstances.
That's what I love about Clueless.
Right.
And hate about Lifetime.
No, totally. And like a Lifetime,
how can
just
you do
like,
something so obvious, so wrong?
They had one line to give away, and it was like this one.
God forbid they put
looks...
Wallace Shawn in this.
Right.
God forbid
Wallace Shawn, babe. So it seems like Stacey and Alicia from right, they're being cool to her. They're being very cold.
You know, publicly.
And so there's two crew members talking, and she iconically overhears us. And one guy says to the other, yeah, it's a makeover scene, but it's going to take a hell of a lot of makeup for that chunky monkey to look halfway decent. She overhears this, and it fucking destroys her. Yeah, destroys her. And of course, like, she runs into her mom a moment later, and she and her mom have that whole, like, no, you're my baby, you're beautiful. And she's like, that's not why I'm here. And they're like, you know, whatever. Brittany's going to be fine, but is she? So then we cut to Morgan a little bit time later coming to set. She immediately introduces Morgan to Alicia, and Alicia's like, I like your dress. You should come and hang out tonight at the after party. And Brittany's like, you can go, Morgan, but I have to go to my dance class. And Morgan, first of all, I love that she thinks that Morgan's going to go to like the cast party without her. But Morgan's like, you're still taking dance? And she's like, I have to try. Like, I'm not like you. And it was like rough.
But I respected
it. I respected it too. I mean, it's the truth. But I was also like, damn, you never like say it that way. Like, but also God bless.
But I feel like she had to, I feel like in this era, we're talking about, what is this year?
It's like 2000, it's 19, oh God, it's 95.
95. Okay. So we're talking about an era where I don't think anybody had an identity, and they were just conforming to what post supermodel, curvy supermodel was. You have to remember 93, 92, 93, 94, 95. We're talking about waif.
Right.
So this was, we were just getting out of a waif era where you cannot be, being a waif is a little bit.
It's questionable. And she was not even like chunky as far as the world's considered. She's just up against two models or like the leads.
Right. And to be honest, they're not models. They're both about 5'5", 5'6". And those girls were you know, beautiful for what they needed to be for the specific role. It just so happens that that role and that movie and the narrative and given the era, it was a hit at the perfect time and it was iconic.
It was like a fashion movie. Like it was about what you could fit into. Like to this day.
And technology. Yeah. Think about the technology of Clueless.
Totally.
The fact that she can itemize everything in her closet.
Right.
And then be able to create an outfit on her computer. By the way, at that point, most people didn't have computers in their homes.
Totally.
So the ability that you can have a motorized closet and a computer that would tell you what to wear.
It was everything.
It was everything.
It was everything.
It was everything.
So right now we're going to go to Brittany's mom telling her she has cancer, probably in Runyon Park.
Runyon Park?
I think so. Runyon Canyon. Sorry. And then we're going to...
No, Runyon Canyon. I'm a snob, so it's...
No, I mean, like, honestly, I spent a lot of time wondering myself what this was supposed to be. Like, is this by the Hollywood sign? This is obviously some...
The fact that they couldn't get rights to go up to Runyon Canyon and film, like, a short, heartfelt scene is, again, the testament to...
But it's also Brill that of the era, they were like, you have to have them hiking. Like, this was very much, like, peak LA, like, are you hiking or are you not hiking?
Right.
Like, time.
Right.
And then from here, we're also going to go to our first red carpet. So let's play this out and enjoy it.
Yeah. You okay? What's going on with you?
I've been just thinking about where all the time goes.
Just thinking about time, huh? Come on.
Shut up.
I know you. What's wrong?
You do. You know, there is something I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
I've been waiting for the right time, but never is one, really. So, last week I had a doctor's appointment and they found a lump. But it's not a big deal because they caught it early enough.
It's not cancer. Oh my God. What?
Look, I'm gonna take care of everything.
No, I need to take care of you, okay? You are all I have. I gotta quit my movie.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's just ridiculous.
I need to be there, okay?
No, what you need is to follow your dream, sweetie, please.
What is the point? If I don't have you to share it with, huh?
I'm right here. It's gonna be all right.
Okay. I just want to stay with you. It is my last day of work, and today is your last treatment.
So, tomorrow, everything will go back to normal.
Like you own it, because you do. Yes. All right. Brittany, just remember, everyone here wishes they were you. Now tell us, who are you?
I'm Brittany. Brittany Murphy.
No. Who are you?
I'm Brittany Murphy.
Okay, I can't even tell you guys like what I'm seeing, so you just have to watch the movie because that's like
her
I can't.
Outfit is exactly what TLC wore in the Creep
video. Thank you. I was gonna say she's wearing like a satin. Like I didn't want to like go too like on the nose. It's the TLC Creep video.
It's a TLC,
right?
It's but just in a cream, white, but satin. In a white cream. Yeah, like angelic,
which takes the cool out of it because the whole coolest part of the scenes.
No,
music video was that she had like they were hot, like pink and blue and like
yes,
sexy
honey,
colors.
But those were girls from Atlanta who was down for whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Is that this dork brought up a white one, and it's just like.
Because
this
she's
is not
like,
cool.
That's not me. And that's what I loved about her is that she was like, I'm going to only go as far as you're going to let.
as I can take it.
I just wanted her to stick to a fun cotton top.
Sure. She wasn't going there. She got that scoop neck from Gap.
Yeah.
Because I had the same one. Yeah. Her mama had the same one.
Yeah. She definitely, this was pre-stylist
right,
everything.
Right, right.
So I just wrote here in my notes, if you ever meet anyone this way, they're going to fucking kill you. Because like, this is the reality. Anytime someone's too hype on you for no reason, they're going to kill you.
They're
going to
kill you. But at the same time, you know, Paps didn't talk to people like that.
Not unless like
they
that.
Want, no, but they want one thing. And there's a few Paps that I still see because it's interesting now that I've transitioned from being behind the rope to working with people that are in front of the rope and kind of hiding in the background.
Right.
You see the same photographers when you go to these events.
Yeah.
And they have a way to get the photos that they want. And that's feeling like you can generate a relationship with the talent, the artist, the celebrity.
Yeah.
That when they see you, they're comfortable and that your work is so good that they're like, okay, this person loves me.
Gets it.
Not like I want to be friends with them. I'm not going to take them out to lunch, but this person, obviously with whomever agency gets it.
I'll give them what they need.
I'll give them what they need because they're going to do right by me.
Right.
And when you're in a world that you're entirely judged by your aesthetic and like back then, yes, you were on the red carpet. There was a step and repeat. It was awkwardly placed. Things were weird. Publicists and execs are milling about in the background. Execs get to bring their kids and get on the
right.
red carpet. That doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
So like there was a much looser culture back then there than there is now. So I think, you know,
being famous was interesting and not like a cross to bear. Like,
no, I don't think execs
would bring like their kids on the way now because right. it's like, I don't want my kid in front of those fucking people.
Absolutely. Because they all got they sucked on the teat.
Too friendly.
Too friendly and sucked on the teat so much that they got punched drunk.
So we see Brittany again hiking with her mom. Her phone rings. It's Jackie.
We never really get the introduction of Jackie versus the other guy who was managing shit at the time.
Oh, wait. You know what? I fucking skipped a beat. I'm so sorry.
There was a guy.
Wait. So Brittany now has a short black blob. Black Bob. We are in 2001. She's eating with a friend at the Ivy type looking place. And it's Jackie. And she tells Jackie, I want to play Janis Joplin in this upcoming movie. And Jackie's like, I pitched you the director. You're not right. And she's like, why? I'm too young. She's like, yeah. And Brittany's like, come on. I really want to do it. She's like, you're not waifish enough. So Brittany knows she has to lose some weight. So Brittany winds up going to her hair guy and having her like trick her out with the blonde Hollywood Michelle Williams in a, come on, what's that movie that I love with the heartbreaking and the Ryan Gosling? What is that movie called? Blue Valentine. She has that Blue Valentine like Hollywood hair.
What era was this supposed to be?
2001.
So where was she? Did somebody have an IMDb up of her? Because I just want to see like what she was working with. Career-wise in the 2000s.
Well, we find out that, like, early from Simon, because who runs into her at this next party, we're going to play the clip.
Simon is the is the biggest supervillain in any celebrity TV movie. I just want everybody to know that. Simon Monjack is a complete creep. And he is 100% complicit in whatever happened that led to her leaving this earth.
Well, now you're owning it. Now you've said it, Camille Grammer. Okay, so you're... do you have it? I'm inviting her as a cinematographer. Do you have it, Sammy? Yeah.
This is some bullshit that I don't like about. There's going to be about 3 or 4 parts of this movie where I'm mad at it.
Okay.
The first thing is that between 99 and 2000,
she did like 8 movies.
She did Drop Dead Gorgeous, which is a cult classic. Okay, it's its own meme.
Yeah.
And then she did Girl Interrupted, which was about a year and a half, up to 18 months of Oscar campaigning and basic dead-ass drama.
Yep.
Gwyneth and Winona.
But she wanted to be a lead.
Angelina.
She wanted to be a lead.
She wanted to be a lead, but yet I don't think this is her. I think this is, again, it goes back to her not being empowered by right. anyone around her.
Well, Jackie tells her, if you want to play Janis Joplin, you gotta lose
skinny.
Money. Yeah, you gotta lose
if
weight.
Her mom is like, I could go back to Jersey any day of the week. Yeah. You don't have anybody who's really around her reinforcing. Drop Dead Gorgeous is a cult classic. She was in Trixie, another cult classic.
Yeah.
Girl Interrupted had, I'm telling you, there was about 18 months of promotion and press.
Well, you know who you're starting to sound an awful lot like? Simon Monjack. So let's play the scene where Simon Monjack and Brittany Murphy come face to face for the first time. As far as Brittany's concerned, she doesn't realize that she has this past with this man who is hideous, by the way.
Sorry, do you mind?
No, I don't, but I'm thinking that Jackie might be a little disappointed if she's got nothing but a truckload of Janice pictures.
Right, sorry, I'm not usually the creepy stalker type. It's just I'm such a huge, huge fan.
Of Janice Joplin?
Of Brittany Murphy.
Oh, really?
Seriously, Cherry Falls, Trixie, Prophecy 2, you were terrifically miscast in all of them.
Excuse me?
No, I'm sorry. It's just, I thought if I was honest about your not-so-good work, you'd believe me when I said how remarkable everything else you've done has been.
Are you actually for real?
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. I can't believe I'm talking to Brittany freaking Murphy. I pulled strings to get this gig. You know, to be amongst the movers and shakers.
Wow. What are you doing wasting your time with me? You should probably go move and shake.
Right, yes. I suppose I should snap a few photos of the rest of the party. All right.
Hey! What's your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. Simon. Simon Monjack.
Stop apologizing, Simon Monjack.
Right. Sorry. Did it again. nice to meet you.
Catherine, you're healthy now, remember?
And the Simon Monjack from this movie is a jewel.
Lifetime did a man dirty and the audience a favor for once in their life, because they never, ever, ever cast like an appropriately unattractive guy ever. Like, it's like Rob Lowe in the role of like the 500-pound
literally
cop.
A genetic replicant of Ashton Kutcher to be Ashton Kutcher.
He fucking nailed it.
He looks so much like Ashton Kutcher. He might look more like Ashton Kutcher than Ashton Kutcher.
No, I don't think anyone has ever been seen.
They threw Simon Monjack into like a remnant runoff version, genetic version of like Monty Python, if they all put their semen into one bowl and then inseminated it into someone and said, come out.
Okay. Well, that's the realest thing that's ever been said on here. But I will tell you this, is that like what they, okay, so they did Ashton.
Terrible.
They did Ashton no favors in the writing. And I actually found this.
But guess what? Did they?
I thought Ashton, felt they did him no favors. No, like, and I felt, and I found out that Ashton, this actor, made him come off. Like, I was like, Ashton probably was the best thing that ever happened to her.
Yeah.
And then, like, when I saw Simon in this movie, I was like, wow, if they had to cast a slightly less ugly actor, I probably wouldn't think he murdered her. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, oh, there's wiggle room there. Like, now that I see it, I'm like, oh, no, he's a fucking crook and an evil man. Like, he totally brainwashed her.
He brainwashed her.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Ashton. Back to Ashton, because look, Ashton's an Aquarius and so am I.
Yeah.
But like, Ashton knew, the one thing that I'm ready for Ashton Kutcher to do today in America is to step in front of his truth. And I want him to talk about what life was like between that moment when she jumps into his arms and Just Married promos shots.
Yeah.
To today.
I would have thought it was like when Demi Moore smoked bath salts and got like the, you remember when she smoked bath salts and 911 came?
Right.
I mean, they were divorced then, but I'm like,
who?
Demi Moore.
Right.
Do you remember she smoked like a strange substance?
And was this during Zac Efron? You're going back into like my tabloid era.
She was with Zac Efron as well.
Oops.
Ted Casablancas, are you on the line? No. But let's go to back where we are this
it's
movie.
It's reported. I'm not telling you anything that hasn't been reported. Okay.
We go back to here. Brittany's hiking yet again with her mom. She gets a call from Jackie. The Janis Joplin project is not moving forward, but that director is casting her with Michael Douglas. Cut to a montage of her being on the Red carpet. I'll never tell. What's that? Don't say a word.
Don't say a word.
And then 8 Mile red carpet. She's talking about Eminem. Supposedly they had a fling.
They did.
And then Britney and her mom pull up to a big house. And she's like, do you like this place? This is where Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears live. So she tells her mom that she just bought the house. Her mom's like, oh, like, are we having tea with Britney and Justin? She's like, no, I bought this place and you're going to move in here with me. And her mom's clearly trying to do like the fadeaway where she's like, well, you're on your own now. Like, you know, Britney's like, if you don't move in with me, I'm not going to move in here. So her mom's like, of course I will. I'm Sharon. I don't like have any boundaries. Like my whole life has been for you, whatever.
No, but like she doesn't have the boundaries. Sharon is more than willing to take a step back.
You're right. Well, I mean, like Britney doesn't know how to survive.
She's like, I don't need to be over there with them. Yeah. I'm good. Oh, I love Meghan Markle's mom. She really doesn't have time for it. She's not interested.
She's not interested. I love that about Meghan Markle's mom. I love
that about her.
She's bored by it.
It's actually an inconvenience, probably.
Yeah. 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 She's like, I didn't plan this for my life.
No.
You know what? I was trying to do yoga.
She's mad as fuck that they keep showing her daddy on TV. Right. They're looking at her like, what was you doing?
Right.
This is what I'm going back to. This goes back to being a black woman. If you're going to go there and suck in all of that, what is current now, dealing with interracial relationships and being a partner with somebody who's...
The last thing she needs is her dad as a representation.
No, the last thing you need is some drunk ass bad dad who be eating McDonald's and Taco Bell's switching off in Mexico at the border town, getting on TV and being like, she don't talk to me.
Right.
You're like, I'm thinking sitting up there being like, why are you talking?
And that sister.
And the sister. Anyway, we derailed.
So, so we're gonna, go forward and Brittany's now like living in this house, right? She's loving it. And then all of a sudden Morgan, her BFF, is over. Let's play this scene where Morgan's visiting.
What about this one?
Huh. I'm not sure that's your color. But you can still try it.
Brittany, you're gorgeous.
Huh. You are.
Oh my God, I so want your life.
Hey guys, how are you today? It's Simon, right?
Right.
What? Come in here, come say hi.
Oh, right. excuse me. Well, hello there.
Hey.
Guys, can you give us a minute?
Lucky man.
Thanks. You know, those lads, they're not your friends. I know that because they're mine.
Well, I'm nice to you guys, so you'll be nice to me.
Right. What you call a co-parasitic relationship. But never mind that. I honestly can't believe that you remembered me.
You were quite memorable.
Well, for the record... You look absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, come on. Whatever happened to that brutal honesty thing at yours, huh?
All right. If I'm being completely honest, I don't think that you need to remake yourself. You're so much more than blonde hair and eyelashes.
I'm not quite sure how to take that. This is how I get noticed.
But that's just it. Don't you see? I think that you shine, Brittany. You've got nothing to prove.
It's really good to see you, Simon.
Likewise. But, Brittany, I'm serious about those fellas out there. They're not all charming like me. They love to build you up now, but when they turn, and trust me, they will turn. They'll do it with a vengeance.
So sweet. Bye, guys. Have a good day.
I love that in real life. I hate how, like, in often in movies, they're like, oh, this actress just naturally wraps her hair around her ponytail ribbon. Like, no, she doesn't.
No, she doesn't. No. And I'm really hard-pressed, given all we know that we know about... Well, we only know so much about her post-Monjack because she was selling everything.
I just wrote here, any man who talks to you like that is bad. Like, after every interaction they have, I just am having, like, a please be careful, you guys. Like, don't fucking get murdered. Like, any... Just no. So now it's 2003. Jackie, her manager, is pitching her. Is it just married or just famous?
Just married.
Just married. Just married. Okay. I wrote down just famous for some reason.
Yeah, because so, that's what they were at the time.
Right?
Just famous.
Her co-lead would be Ashton Kutcher, was exciting for her. She's the guy from Dude, Where's My Car in that 70s show, as far as she's concerned. Brittany says he's very pretty. She wonders about their chemistry. It'd be like Beauty and the Beast, she says. So we cut to the photo shoot. Lifestyle.
Beast.
She's the beast because she hates herself, remember?
Right.
She's pretty. He's pretty. So that would make them, yeah.
Right.
So then we cut to the photo shoot, which I think was really famous. And I feel like they played clips of this behind the scenes photo shoot on MTV for a really long time.
Google it.
Like they would use it anytime they showed like stock footage of them. So Lifestyle's the Rich and Famous is playing. The two of them have real chemistry and it springs into a little relationship. Let's play the two of them leaving. It's like literally, I think that they're leaving from the place where they filmed Dancing with the Stars. You tell me if this is right. This parking lot.
Okay.
Gentlemen, get something good, okay? Hey, Ashton, how'd it go in there, man?
Hey, guys.
Oh, come on. Give us something, man. You're killing me. Oh, Brittany, hey, are you and Ashton item offset, too?
Don't believe everything you guys publish.
Oh, come on, you guys are wearing rings.
Oh, they're for the film. They were just having fun.
And so you're not dating?
Take a look at him. He could break any heart in Hollywood.
You're so beautiful.
Shut up.
No, I'm serious.
What are you doing? What?
You ever take this stuff off?
You would run for the hills.
Well, we already are in the hills, but yeah, you're totally right. I would run. I'd run.
What? That's mean.
Whoa. This power couple just got nominated.
What? So, really?
Yeah.
What?
For a Razzie Award. Worst on-screen couple.
Oh, that's just me.
Oh,
it's actually kind of hilarious. I mean, the movie made a truckload of money, so the Razzie people can suck it.
Well, you may have just killed my career, but almost ran on it together, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Question is, what are we going to wear to the acceptance speech?
Go as a pair of Oompa Loompas. Now, come on, let's get out of here. I want to go do something.
Yes, you guys go outside. It is a beautiful day. You can go hike in the hills.
We are in the hills. That's gross.
I'm gonna get dressed.
Okay. I will never get tired of this view. It reminds me of when my mom and I first moved down here. You know, all those dreams. Beautiful, huh?
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, okay. No.
All right, guys. You got us. Wow. Okay, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Whoa. Whoa. Oh, hey. You okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine. It's just a dizzy spell, you know. I get them sometimes. It'll pass.
All right. You sure?
It always does, yeah.
All right.
It's never really clear what's happening to her here. We just know it's bad. Like, this is the beginning of us understanding. Okay, wait. She's really actually, like, ill. So, they go to the diner, right? Oh, God. Ashton says he doesn't understand their ritual of going to the diner. And the lady drops off their hamburger buns and or their hamburgers. And Ashton lifts the bun off and he goes, I ordered the burger with extra grease. And then they expertly pan to the waitress who's like 60 years old and like rolling her eyes. She's like, I work at a diner. I'm not here for your jokes, Ashton.
Yeah, I don't care who you are.
Then they pan back to him who now has French fries like a walrus. And it was like an expert pan. It was like a joke. Lady doesn't care, pan back down, walrus. It, like, you really get the vibes that he was the most annoying person on the planet.
I don't think he was being annoying here. I have to note the cinematography and direction in this scene. Everybody's looking at them.
Right.
So they're always on stage.
Right.
So they were performing because they knew they had to be.
I thought it was like Justin Timberlake annoying, where it's like you're high key permanently annoying.
Yes, that's really, really a factor in most matters. But I definitely think that because, well, Justin Timberlake's an Aquarius too. So there you go. Aquarian men as an Aquarius female are something else. That's
right.
All I'm
gonna say. They're a piece of work.
They're pieces of work.
Okay. So, Ashton's phone is blowing up while they're there. And she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, it's the guys. They're asking me to go clubbing. He's like, we should go out. And she's like, no, I'm going to go home. But you can if you want. And he's like, okay. So he goes out, spends the night out. Next thing we see, it's the break of dawn. And his trucker hat is hitting the lampshade next to the bed. And she's like, where have you been all night? But like, not really. She's being very like, shelter. Ledoux. She's being very like coy about it though. She never like, I've noticed this with her like throughout the movie. She never flatly says like, I'm pissed. Where have you been all night? Like, it's just like.
He was at the lounge.
I'm okay. She's like, no, I'm okay. Have fun with your friends. And basically, he's just like,
she's being
I love
a Jersey
you.
Wife. Right. I don't care that you're in waste management.
She's looking the other way. So she's like, look, she's like, he's like, all my friends love you. I love you so much. You're the best. He's like, we're going to make this work. He's like, I just, you know, she's like, listen, we met on a movie doing a couple on their honeymoon phase. She's like, we're never going to be the same way again. Yeah. And he's like, well, I'll make it work with you. So then the two of them bone. And then we cut to a title card that says 3 months later. Brittany comes back from the movie that she's just been filming in New York. And she has to inform her mom that unfortunately the two of them have broken up. I don't really remember this, but they did. She says they were too different. She likes to stay at home. He likes to be out. So when Brittany gets to the top of the stairs, when she's like giving her mom this speech, she collapses, like fully collapses. And she wakes up in the hospital with her mom next to her. The doctor says that it's hypoglycemia and anemia, probably from her periods. She has really bad periods, which was cited a lot when she died. Jackie, the manager, is there. She assures them both it's fine. But it turns out the tabloids know she's there. They think there's something like much bigger going wrong with her. They think it's an eating disorder. But then when they get outside and they're bombarded with the paparazzi, guess who's there? Her murderer, Simon. So he's like, explosive. I don't do this stuff anymore. I don't do work like them. Like, get in the car. So like for some reason, Simon, despite the fact that he's not a paparazzi anymore, is just standing outside the hospital ready to pick her up.
Because Ed Winter told him.
Right. Right. The coroner.
I mean, he wouldn't have said it then, but he would have. Why are you apologizing? He was the coroner.
Right. You're
he
right.
He is the coroner.
That's probably the darkest.
I'm saying, you know, people know stuff because people told them. HIPAA wasn't enforced then.
Right. Pippa Middleton.
HIPAA.
Oh. So she flashes Google back it, people. To the first time in her mind that she ever heard his voice. And it's the clueless. It's the clueless red carpet. And she's like actually not doing this. It's just a movie magic trick because she still doesn't realize how long she's known him yet.
Right.
But it's her POV. Unreal. We see that from her point of view, she was panicking and felt like she was very afloat, like whatever. Like he was keeping her afloat. So now it's August 2003. Brittany's talking about working with Dakota Fanning on the red carpet. She's asked about her drug use. She said she never has used drugs. She has a heart condition. Her next project, Little Black Book and Happy Feet, are coming up, and she's excited about both because she gets to sing. Brittany tells her mom some exciting news. She's the next DoorDash jeans girl. Her mom says that she can't handle all the ups and downs. Brittany says it's going to be all but ups from now. Don't worry about it. And then she goes, I won't be needing these anymore. She pulls a bottle of pills from her purse, and her mom grabs them. It's like antidepressants, which like is like LOL for two reasons. One is that Brittany would be on antidepressants that her mom didn't know. To like, that's a normal reaction to have to antidepressants. Like, that's so weird. So now it's 2004.
That's the first thing I said.
Brittany's mom is like, I got to go to the pharmacy. And Brittany's like, I want to come. And her mom's like, no, I got to go now. Which I'm like, that would mean cancer right away.
Well,
like, no other question.
No one rushes there unless you have a yeast infection or like explosive diarrhea.
Exactly.
You like, someone's just, like, I gotta get there now.
And like, also, like, still strange for the circumstances at hand because it's like, oh, you have to get your cancer medicine today. Like,
stop.
Babe. So her mom's like, I don't want to talk about it. She's like, I'll be okay. She's like, so Brittany goes through all of her shit and like finds like a pamphlet that says like breast cancer ? And Brittany's mom comes home and she's like crying on the stairs.
Can I tell you how dare her doctor give her a brochure
that's like
about
breast cancer
when she had it before? Right. So you really are like, in case you forgot,
like
this is what cancer is like.
Yeah.
Well, good doctor. I mean, they could have set that up a different. She could have found a prescription. I'm just saying that sometimes Lifetime doesn't take like a two narrative steps further than what the conventional
That's why you have to stay angry, because to me, this is normal now. No. I'm like, oh, this is how information is introduced.
It's normal when it's like Heather Langenkamp and when like they have Dean an hour Cain. And
27 minutes.
But we're talking about the iconography of an underrated actress in Oscar award winning movies who worked with award-nominated directors, and you know she deserves just a little bit more urgency and understanding of what the story, where the story is going to go. If Dean Cain and Heather Langenkamp are in the movie, then you know, do whatever you want. You can make shit
she deserves
fly.
Better than not just like a pamphlet that's been printed out on like a little
she
piece
didn't
of
pick
paper.
That up on her own volition.
No, that she someone she deserves
we're
a better
supposed to believe
life.
That somebody
like start to
that
finish
to her.
Better life, like let alone the movie. You know,
it,
what I mean?
At least could have said breast cancer again.
Not me. Okay?
Not me.
Yeah.
Who could believe it?
Who could believe
I'm just saying that, like, I'm not laughing at breast cancer at all.
No,
I'm like, great grandmother died of it, but I'm just
you're
saying.
You're a storyteller.
Like, I'm a storyteller. Right. Why, you know, she's. I'm supposed to believe that Sharon Murphy walked into the hospital. The doctor said, you have cancer again. And she said, I have no idea how to deal with this. Considering this almost took my life the first time,
this is
I need
very
a brochure.
Early Twitter. You could have said "B cans to me."
Yeah,
that's what it could have said. It could have been like trendy.
B yeah, it could have been a me. Hashtag or something. They just had to like take it to the most basic.
Hashtag
cans. I'm tired of them. Oh God, I'm not going there. I'm just saying they could have at least, at the very least,
guys. I'm not being casual about breast cancer. It's,
I can't
I probably
be casual
am gonna get
about it.
I'm probably gonna get it. It's
no,
skipped,
don't
if my mom
say
doesn't
that.
Have it, so it's probably
I don't
want to
get it. I get yeah. You get mammograms.
I'm too afraid. My grandmother had it.
Okay,
and my aunt
you
said to get it, so
are
I probably
insane.
Will.
You should really just go get one.
I will.
No,
I
mean, I'm telling you, you have to get one
okay.
by the end of the summer.
I mean, I'm not saying I never will. I just haven't
you
reached
to,
that age yet where they're like,
you,
let's squeeze your
just,
boobs.
If you watch GMA or Today, they'll let you know that it doesn't matter anymore.
Oh,
there's
right.
too many environmental
go.
Factors. I go and get my shit looked at every. My boobs go up and down. I need to have them know what's going on inside of them besides the fat. You go, you let them squeeze your boob for like 30 minutes and you move on with your day.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just saying that if you've having seen people go through breast cancer, you don't want a brochure.
No, it's how my grandmother died. I first
my
sure
oncologist
had
a brochure.
Seriously.
I'm gonna punch him in the face.
You're right. No, you're right. I don't want a brochure.
No.
So,
I don't want a link or a forward or a bookmark or a tag.
Brittany's mom does tell her that it's not just bad, it's very bad. Okay. And so we go to a little mini montage of Brittany spending all of her time at the hospital with her mom. And I wrote here, it's actually very sad. She gets home and there's a ton of mail outside of her place, a lot of scripts. And as this little montage moves forward, less and less scripts are there for her every time, to the point that she brings her mom home. So now we're in September 2005. She's caring for her mom at home. Let's play this clip, 43:20 to 46:18.
Green tea, lots of antioxidant.
Oh, will you stop fussing over me? Being out of sight, out of mind is not a very good thing in this town. Did you at least call Jackie back?
I left messages.
Oh, Brittany.
I did.
Oh, I think that's...
Yeah.
Hello?
I'm sorry,
Jordache junkie. What?
No. No comment.
What's going on?
Porter asking for a comment? Come on now. Oh my goodness.
Should I decline this?
Yes.
Jordache junkie.
Some gossip reporter has blogged that a well-known actress got loaded out of her mind at a Hollywood party and had sex with a cater waiter in the stairwell. They're saying that it was me.
Oh, please, sweetheart, that's insane. You've been in the hospital with me morning, noon, and night. You can't...
I don't know whether to laugh or cry at the idea that I left your hospital room to go out and get loaded and have anonymous sex.
Brittany, we're gonna call Jackie and she will know how to straighten all this out, okay?
How could anyone who actually knows me believe that I would do that?
Well, I told you that would blow over just like the last silly scandal did, right?
You should not be up, okay? What do you need?
Feels good to get out of bed. I'd be laying there all day. Oh, sweetie. Just smile. At least you got a retraction, right?
Well, it doesn't mean anything, okay? People believe what they want to believe.
What is it?
They're dropping.
Who's dropping you? I don't
know. My agents. Jackie.
No way, Brittany. She's...
Oh, it's right here, okay? I'm telling you.
I didn't realize that her agents and
managers dropped her because of all of this. Yeah, I mean, this was a really, like... I mean, I'm not going to say there was a great time to be Brittany Murphy, but this was a rough time to be Brittany Murphy. Like, first of all, DoorDash Junkie was, first of all, widely rumored in the rumors of Ted Casablancas' column. For those of you who don't know, The Dirty Truth was like the OG blind item website, and it was on E! And run by Ted Casablancas, who was his writer. And I don't know. I mean, he has a Twitter presence, but he has like 3,000 Twitter followers. Like, he does not have the iconic following that he should have for being who he is.
He's throwing an art party in Palm Springs. I Googled him, of course.
Oh, my God. Didn't I text you about that or, like, tweet you about that?
I feel like you did. I mean, I would go to it. I think that there's no huge business to be had in 2018 when you spent all of 2000 to 2015 telling everybody's business.
So a lot of people thought that this was Kirsten Dunst when this came out.
I don't remember. I feel like by the time this was a...
But to think back on how like blatant this was, like, okay, like now in the internet world, like if you call someone Jordache junkie and it's literally the only famous actress with a Jordache campaign, like everyone would know who this is. That would like barely be.
You wouldn't be so bold. You'd be a Lainey Gossip about it. You know what I mean?
This is
very obvious. You even put the brand in it. And by the way, I feel like if the brand had a problem, the brand would have said something. I think the brand was in on it too.
Probably.
What I always heard in the era that we were covering this is that it was someone who worked on the brand.
I was going to say, it makes sense. The only way that they do that is like just drop the whole thing like a sack of bricks. Like, well, how do we just get rid of it all?
No, there's just some things that you learn with a lot of these deals that artists do is that the brand is willing to pay.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that the brand like wanted her out and they're like, how do we fucking cut the cancer out? No pun intended to Sharon Murphy.
They dropped the ball.
And right.
I think they dropped the ball here on her because I think the branded thing hurt her more than being unreliable on set.
Well, like, obviously,
that cut out money that she could have. Even Lohan was doing Fiorina.
I was gonna say, like, how many famous actresses at all were doing Jordache jeans during this time? Jordache was begging for a come up at this time.
Absolutely.
So Brittany,
you were making your own jeans back then, and that wasn't a come up either, to be honest.
True life. Like literally, like True Religion was like struggling in a garage before it like was
seven
birthed.
Jeans.
Yeah,
paper denim. Come on.
So Brittany's dropped by everyone in her life, which is terrible. Like, it's really hard to think about how you'd come back from that. 2 months later, Brittany's on the phone. She's trying to get new reps. She's being found out, like, a third-tier agency is telling her, like, we can't take you on. This Jordache junkie stuff is too strong. Which is crazy, given that, like, now the media climate, like, there are still people that are, like, full-blown accused sexual predators who like have jobs and like lives and livelihoods and they still have an agency, but like someone supposedly who could technically be Brittany Murphy like can't get an agent now because of Jordache Junkie.
But they were looking for, again, like, I hate to be the grandma, but like 2004, 2005, 2000.
Her agents, managers, everyone might have
been in. No, I mean, you had to be controversial to get in the papers, and you had to be hot, and you had to look like you could have a good time and kind of be dangerous.
But then why would her agents back away when she wasn't specifically named?
Because she wasn't willing. She wasn't technically willing to do what they needed her to do.
Right.
You see in the film, she didn't like going out.
She didn't go full Lohan.
She didn't go full Lohan, and she also didn't like being in a PR relationship.
Right.
She clearly didn't want the whole thing. She had, they were engaged.
Right. Her and Ashton were engaged. Yeah.
So it's like,
right? Am I wrong? But they were engaged, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
They were definitely living together.
Yeah.
Like, she couldn't handle the pressure of that. I'm not saying she's weak for it. I'm just saying that it was a rough period of adjustment for her.
Yeah.
And everyone else during that time.
Yeah.
Everyone else was going through something crazy.
Yeah.
Brittany was marrying old boy. This is like the meat
of like Hollywood crazy. This is 2007 now.
Yeah.
Like,
this is Brittany's baby, already halfway done with baby one.
So Simon Monjack, it's now 2007. Simon Monjack is sitting alone at a dinner. And I mean, who wouldn't just think he'd
definitely be at Elgin Park?
We'd all think, I see in my mind, I was like, he's at Craig's. Like in my mind, I saw Craig's.
Craig's wasn't open yet.
Right. You're right. I don't know. I mean, I've only been at Craig's once.
Whatchamacallit. What's Don? Tell me.
Don?
It's the
first day of, oh wait, the, oh.
No, there's Craig's, which is opened up by the Mater D who worked at Don, which I can't think of the name.
Oh, I don't know.
Dantana's.
Okay.
So he's the Mater D of Dantana's opened up Craig's. Yeah. No, I don't see, I see him. He's definitely at El Compadre or Casa Vega.
You're right. He's totally at Casa Vega
for real.
So it's now 2007. Simon Monjack's alone at dinner. I thought he would probably just be alone and then he ran into her, but no, she fucking came looking for him. We're going to play this clip. It's a longer clip, but I just wrote here, apparently she agreed to meet this guy. Like, it's crazy to think like what place in her life she must've been in that she gets a call from Simon Monjack's like, I'll meet you there.
She's like, I'll be right there.
That's dark.
Thank you so much for coming to meet me.
Of course.
As I mentioned, I'm no longer a photographer. Well, other than for my own pleasure. But I've had a bit of success as a producer and screenwriter. I've just had the film Factory Girl released this last year. And that inspired me to write this script about Sigmund Freud.
Which I loved, by the way.
Thank you so much. To be blunt, I want you for the lead role, for the opera singer. You're right.
Yeah. She's a wonderful character, and I love to sing. But I'm sure you know that it's impossible to raise money on my name anymore.
Well, you just need a fresh start. We'll find the money somehow. The most important part is to find the right person for the role. And I know that that's you.
Wow. I appreciate your vote of confidence in me. But why do you think that I'm so perfect for the part?
Your vulnerability. I know you normally play much tougher characters, but I see the vulnerable Brittany hiding inside of you. That's the Brittany I want.
Well, we have talked the night away.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have to table this until I get back from New York.
Right. You're going to New York?
In the morning, yeah. We'll direct a DVD thing. The best I can get these days.
I wonder if you remember the first time we met.
How could I forget? You were my worst critic.
Yes, but before that, your first red carpet.
Wait, you're not talking about the Clueless premiere?
Yes.
Oh my God, that was you?
I had an inkling that there was a star inside of you.
That was a real turning point for me. I really felt that you saw me.
Right. Well, good luck in New York. And we'll talk more when you get back, yeah?
New York, I detest flying.
I could go with you if you like.
I brought home two surprises.
Ready?
Surprise number one. Surprise number two.
Oh, ha.
No.
On our way home, we were waiting to board. Simon popped the question.
I still can't believe you said yes.
Mm-hmm. When you know, you know. Simon is an amazing man. He has made a fortune buying and selling art.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were a photographer.
Yeah.
Well, I've dabbled in a number of things. Most recently, writing and producing. In fact, I've just had the film Factory Girl released this last year. Have you heard of it?
No, I have not. So, what other things?
All right. Where to start? We went to New York this past week, and she filmed for 3 days. No, let me help, please.
Thank you, Simon.
Sharon, I know this must all seem rather sudden to you.
That's an understatement. You know, Brittany is extremely vulnerable and fragile right now.
And you're worried that I'm taking advantage of that. I don't blame you for wondering.
Well, she's always had a flair for the dramatic. And you've been her knight in shining armor once before, right?
Look, I'm no Ashton Kutcher. I don't have Hollywood good looks. But I really do love Britt. I want to marry her with all my heart.
You've gained her trust. That's not easy to do these days.
Well, she knows I have her best interest at heart.
If you do, could you please slow this train down?
I've tried. Believe me, I've tried. Can I help it that she finds me so irresistible?
Look, I'm sure you know that Brittany is famously tied to my apron strings. But we are a package deal. Like it or not.
Sharon, I would have it no other way.
One of my favorite ways to watch Lifetime movies is on the Lifetime Movie Club, streaming 100 Lifetime movies anywhere, anytime. New movies are rotated in weekly, so you will never run out of new juicy movies to watch. Plus, listeners of Mother May I Sleep A podcast get an exclusive 1 month free trial. Just go to lifetimemovieclub.com/malls, and if you're still not convinced, let me tell you about this month's movies. We've got I Am Elizabeth Smart, which I believe was produced by Elizabeth Smart, has Skeet Ulrich in it, and it is beyond creepy. It really, if you ever thought you knew what happened to Elizabeth Smart, watch this because you didn't. Cocaine Godmother is on there. How could anyone not watch a movie called Cocaine Godmother? And Rules Too Late to Say Goodbye and Committed. Again, to get your free month of Lifetime Movie Club, go to lifetimemovieclub.com/malls. That's lifetimemovieclub.com/MOLLS for the exclusive to us offer of 1 free month. Here's the thing. She gives them a
They don't show no sex scenes with these, with her and Simon Monjack.
Because, like, it's literally hard enough to watch them be in tank tops and bed together. So, like, there is one thing, though, like, when we end, though, like, Simon leans over and gives Sharon a kiss and is like, I promise I'll take care of your daughter. Like, some shit like that. And, like, I literally wrote to myself, like, this literally for me is cemented every sexual rumor between the two of them that I ever needed. Like, this is the fact that, like, the intimacy of the way he, like, kissed her on the cheek. I was like, ugh, like, she's getting something out of this.
What is it, though?
I don't know. Like, I mean, it's probably, like, a sense of security. Like, the first person to ever come along and be like, I got this. That's not, like, her cocky daughter who's, like, has a good knack for acting. Like, it's, like, a man being like, okay.
Which I is had gonna- that once, and I couldn't get over the glaring, just, like, this is – there was – I knew that I wasn't mature enough to tolerate the intolerance of what this relationship would present.
Right. Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's maturity in and of itself.
You live in Los Angeles. I'm sorry. Like, you come here. If you come here with, like, a goal, you want a hot guy.
Do you think that maybe though, like these two were just happy to have a man of any type step into their life and be like, don't worry, I've got your
1,000%. And this goes back to, again, a scenario that I'm not familiar with and that I'm learning about through experiences from my friends and my peers. And I don't want to be like Miss, you know, perfect, pretty princess about my dad raising us and my parents.
No, you've lived here. You fought your fight.
I fought my fight in other ways. Yeah. I used to get teased when I was like a little girl about my dad showing up to school. And I just used to be like, I would come home to my mom and dad and be like, they're making fun of me because daddy picked me up from school.
Right.
And she'd be like, she would explain it in her own way. I'm not going to penalize my mom, but I don't think there's anything bad about the alternative. I'm just saying, like, this is why you're getting it because X.
Yeah.
So long story short, I agree with you. They were happy to have a man who was ready to take care of shit.
Yeah.
In any way, which is why she glommed on to him.
Because, like, even if you're a woman and you can financially take care of shit, there is a part of you always that's like, I mean, I deal with it like living in this house where it's like, if I have a construction guy come over, like, he's for sure darting his eyes around to make sure that there's no presence of a man so we could, like, add on some extra money.
Or ask you out on a date or swipe left
to say the least.
I don't even know. Like, I was calling swipe left on Twinder.
Twinder. Swipe.
I sound like a South Park skit.
You swipe left on Twinder. Too taken. It's not fair. So we cut to Brittany then in her bed struggling with a pill bottle. Things to come. So Simon is naked in bed next to her. It's disgusting. Ugh. I just wrote here, it's disgusting to look at. He tells her he has so many ideas for how to reboot her career. He wants people to love her again. He sees to see her the way that he does. They kiss. It's disgusting. And then we get to Brittany and her mom at lunch. Now, this scene is truly fucking bone chilling, and we need to spend some time with this. Because, like, what would you do?
With my mom?
Just wait until when this woman comes up like this. Just wait. I'd die.
Oh, yes.
I'd die.
This part. Okay, here we go.
The front yard is too small. It's not going to accommodate this big of an event.
Which is why we cut the guest list down, way down. Okay, Simon says we should only invite friends who've been loyal. Real friends.
Simon says. Where's Simon's list?
His family, they're mostly in the UK.
I'm sorry to disturb you. I'm sorry. We're just right in the middle of something important.
It's okay. Mom, it's okay.
Oh.
Did you want a picture?
No, I'm not looking for a picture or an autograph. Just to warn you, you're seeing Simon Monjack? Is this really any of your business? What are you, a reporter?
No.
How well do you know Mr. Simon Conjack? I mean, that's what my friends call him. Has he told you about his other fiancés? The broken hearts he's left strewn on both sides of the Atlantic?
Oh, I assume that you're one of them.
I think maybe it's a good idea.
You need to walk away.
Not until I've said my piece.
Okay.
Has he told you about the lawsuits, the unpaid bills, rent he skipped out on? And you might want to talk to the FBI. There's a complaint or two on file. I'm leaving. At least talk to his family. Ask them how he went through all of their money before he started bilking everyone else's. Simon is a manipulative con man who victimizes trusting people. You need to know that. And get that ring appraised. It is a cubic zirconia, for sure. Sorry. Come on.
That was crazy.
I mean, this is the thing. Like, when everyone's friend is like, she's just jealous. It's like, you don't ever just let, like, coast on the fumes of someone potentially being just jealous of you. And this is why. Like, I think, first of all, just jealous is, like, a big-ass excuse that does not really exist in most of the real world. Just jealous really
doesn't exist. But
we don't
understand, like, how many crazy things happen to them per day. So that was probably just, like, one of 50 crazy things that happened that day.
Sure. And, yeah, we're right. This woman probably represents one of 50 people that were coming up and getting in her
And trying to sit down and have lunch.
But then Brittany does the outrageous thing of literally not saying anything to Simon when she gets home. He thinks she's just like in a period mood. He's just like, oh, okay. Like, she won't tell him. So, like, we get really fucking far. These two get really, really far before they say anything.
Look at the look on her face. She's already done.
Blah, blah, blah. No, she's giving him looks, but she's not saying why, which really bothered me because the next time we go, they're playing like Uno or something at the kitchen table. And then fucking ICE comes up to the front door, knocks on the door. It's literally the immigration police, and they arrest Simon because he is on a visa. Expired visa, and they have a warrant, but then there's also a bunch of other shit. So they arrest Simon. Brittany's like, how do I get him out? And the lawyer comes to her house. He's like, listen, Brittany, honey, this is like way deeper than you could ever think. Like, he has over $500,000 in back due rent. He has, he had a taiga. Right. He had a case for, credit card fraud in Virginia that he got dismissed on. She's like, but he got dismissed. And they were like, dismissed. Like, it's not a not guilty.
He paid a settlement with the creditor.
So she winds up going to like go pick him up at jail. She gets him out and she goes, Simon's like, hey, Brittany, I want to like tell you about some stuff before we go inside. She's like, I don't want to hear any of it. I just want to fix it. So next thing we go to, they're getting married. It's a Jewish ceremony, beautiful, but it's in the front yard of the house, which is a little poor and sad, like considering especially what's about to happen.
He'd already corrupted her into thinking that anything less than anything more than that, rather,
was dark,
and that they need to preserve their shit.
It had to be tight. Yeah. And like, that's as we say at the beginning, it was in the front.
Wow.
And that's like what she was saying with her mom at the restaurant. She's like, we're keeping it tight, 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 which is always like, you know, like that's the big sign.
Nothing more tight than getting married on a cul-de-sac where Brittany and Justin used to live.
Right. And so she like, they get married and Brittany's mom like announces it to the whole yard of people. And like, literally they look like they're at a fucking funeral. So the next morning, Brittany wakes up and she tells Simon in bed, they found out. And I guess she wanted to control the wedding announcement, but it was leaked.
He leaked it.
Well, like, honestly, literally was on the front yard of a cul-de-sac.
Fair, but also he leaked.
A taxi driver.
But he facilitated it. Who chose to put the shit on the front lawn?
Yeah.
Who chose?
You agree. You're right. I agree. You're right. And Brittany's saying that she's reading the newspaper to him and she's saying, they're saying you cast a spell on me and my mom. And Simon says, maybe I have. Honestly, you must be a bit crazy. Only way to explain why you'd want to be with me. And Brittany says, besides my mom, you're the only one I know for sure loves me without question. And this super tense music plays and Simon sits up and he says, I know you don't want to hear this, but I want to be 100% honest with you because I really want this to work. And Brittany says, Simon, don't. And he says, all these dirty, terrible things you've heard about me, they're true. Every last one of them. I guess you could say I've been a bit of a sociopath. And she says, it doesn't matter, okay? The past is the past. And he's like, right, right. That's the point. When I'm with you, you make me want to be a better man. And with you, I will be. From now on, let me protect you. No more blogs. No more tabloids. Let's shut down the haters out of our lives. And she goes, and fake friends. And he goes, and fake friends too. And I'm like, girl, you had good friends. And he convinced you that they were fake friends because now it's 2009 and you're fucking alone, married to a self-admitted sociopath.
He admitted it during pillow talk. Wow.
Literally. Like, and she's like, no, don't tell me. Like, this is when you know when you are literally not listening to a sociopath tell you he's a sociopath, making excuses.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
So let's play. Oh, so wait, let's just get really quick. One night, Brittany like shoots up in bed because she hears a noise in the background. And it's probably a car misfire.
You
got to
be clear
because
when you said shoots up, I was like, heroin?
No. Also
she's
probably.
Bolts up.
She bolts up from bed.
Yes.
And she hears like a poof, poof, poof in the background. And she's like, they're trying to get me. They're trying to get me. And like they call the police and they're just like, it was a car misfiring. And she's like, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so fucking humiliated. And I just like wrote later, like, why would she think that like it's embarrassing?
Because if I remember correctly, you're bringing up some old stuff now.
No, this was in the scene in the movie.
No. I'm saying that this was reported.
Oh, probably
that she went, but that there was a period where once post marriage that people were following their every single move, and because they thought this guy was weird, and this guy did.
She does this a couple times in the movie, right?
She does this a couple times in the movie, but there was Simon did have a reputation. Like he did have. I know the movie that he produced with the Factory Girl producers, and I know that he was dabbling more than dabbling. He was making deals and like, you know, getting scripts sold and getting into rooms where it was like she was the same rooms she would have gotten into.
Right.
So I do remember there was a period where she was freaking out about stuff because that cul-de-sac.
He was at her ear.
He was in her ear, but things that would happen the neighbors were like annoyed because people would be parked outside their houses. Mm. So they would start feeding people stuff.
Right.
Just because they were like, you know, they were annoyed and didn't realize that the continuance of feeding this information was going to continue to keep the presence of Paps on their doorstep. So yeah, like, I mean, you know, like her antics were being widely discussed.
Okay. Oh, wait, I switched things. You're right. This one was the one with the helicopter where she thought the helicopter nearby was for her. It was not for her. The gun backfiring car thing comes later. So she has a whole running theme of this. I apologize, you guys. I don't normally do that. Okay, let's go to 104.17 to 105.30.
Honey?
Mm.
Got some lunch for you.
No, I'm not hungry.
No, you have to eat something. Brittany, it's not healthy for you to just lay around here all day. Did you take your medicine?
Yeah, I think so.
These antidepressants don't seem to be working that well anymore. I'm going to call the doctor, Britt.
No, Ma. No, doctors. Please, Ma.
That's it. I've done it. What? I finally made it happen. You, my dear, have got a movie.
I know that busy too. I can't wait.
No. What's this? This is a thriller. Small budget, but very, very good. We leave for Puerto Rico in a week's time.
What's Puerto Rico saying, baby? You know I hate flying. And over the water.
I know. But it's all right. We'll both be with you. Your mom and I. I'll be doing your hair and makeup for the film. We'll make a vacation of it. All right? Just read the script.
No, I don't have to. I just want to work.
That's my girl.
You did it.
Okay, so I want to pause this here and play the diner scene after it, but I just want to say, why is he doing her hair and makeup for the movie, and why did she just accept that?
Because he just he pocketed the guarantee. He just walked in and they said, if you get us Brittany Murphy on this set by Saturday of next week, take this $50,000.
Yeah, so literally everyone involved is like, yeah, he'll be doing the star's hair and
it's
makeup.
It's a low-budget movie and you get Brittany Murphy. And this might be the role of the – this might be a Canyons-type situation.
Right.
This might actually get me – look, the Canyons went to Venice Film Festival in consideration.
But, like, she accepted that. Brittany's like, yeah, you'll be doing my hair and makeup.
Yes, of course.
She's drugged out, right.
I don't think that she's necessarily drugged out. I think that she's in a despondent place.
Well, where we see her, she is so vacant.
She's vacant.
No one's home.
And think about it. Jackie left her. Her agency left her.
Right.
She had, but Mon Jack and the mom.
And he's like, I'll be running the Flatiron on this. Yeah.
Or doing a little, you know, twist with the wrist at the end for a little curl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so we go back to the diner, and this is where
so Rachel.
Ashdy boy finds them.
Post-Rachel.
Yeah, post-Rachel. Post-Rachel 9/11.
Have you seriously come back here every one of the past 18 years?
We missed one or two times while Brittany was shooting, but we always came back to make up for it. It's exactly the same.
Nothing's changed. It's terrible.
Everything has changed. I just don't see it.
Why don't you mind your own business and bugger off?
Hey, everybody.
Ashton.
Hi, Sharon. Hey, how are you?
Good to see you.
How are you? Simon. Hey. Come here.
What are you doing here?
Well, it's one time a year I know where to find you guys.
Well, join us.
Oh,
sit down.
I'd love to. I can't stay very long. I'm actually producing a pilot for a TV show.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah, we're actually in the casting process right now, and your name came up. I think you'd be great for the lead.
Thanks, Mick. But we're just now rebooting Brittany's feature career. Don't think it's quite time to go back to TV.
Well, I hope you'll think about it. Because you'd be great.
Of course she'll think about it. Thank you.
So good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
We have to have food together.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see each other more.
Ashton, wait a second.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey.
How are you? Are you okay?
Yeah. Come on. You know you can't believe all the stuff that you hear out there.
Yeah.
I'm good. We're good.
You know, I never stopped caring about you.
You know that, right?
Me too. But I have my mom, and Simon really cares about me.
Yeah, no, of course. Right.
Hey. Do you think if we'd won that Razzie, if we would have shown up to accept it in person?
Definitely. Take care of yourself, okay?
Get out of here. I don't want to come here again. Ever. Can I go?
So this is the thing I was mistaking before. This is where she hears the gunshots in the distance, blah, blah, blah. Never mind. The police come to her house. They're like, you okay, girl? And she's like, I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed. And Simon's like, she's fine. And then, like, the police are looking at Simon, and they're like, And they look at Brittany. They're like, okay, anyway. So, like, the police leave even though they see stranger danger. They're, like, not happy with what's going on there. So Simon then brings her some beta blockers that'll calm her down. She's kind of mortified when she sees them, which is, like, I don't know. It's like, it's weird to me that I wrote here that it's weird that she would feel such shame and guilt about calling the police. Like, that to me spoke to me to, that spoke to me about her being abused more than most things in this movie. So then we go to Puerto Rico, baby. Brittany is on set and she's having a hard time staying awake. This scene triggered the fuck out of me. It's 1:10:23 to 1:12:33. We're going to see her like Z-ing on set.
This is uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable.
Is she sleeping?
No. We'll need another 5, though. It's just the jet lag.
Yeah. Take your time.
Thank you. It's all right, baby, but it is important that you remember your lines this time. All right? Shall we go over them?
You told me that this was going to be a thriller. Simon, I told you I don't want to do another horror film.
It's changed a bit since I first read it, but don't worry, you are going to be wonderful in it. All right? Promise. Just give me a moment. It is important that we're mindful of Brittany's mandated breaks.
Her mandated breaks?
Yes.
You're kidding me, right?
No.
Okay, we're in Puerto Rico. This is not the Fox lot.
I'm aware of that.
This is an ultra-low-budget film, man.
I'm well aware of the budget.
I can't get my star of my movie to know one line of dialogue for more than 5 minutes?
She knows her lines.
Okay. That is when she's not too busy sleeping. Are you drunk?
Are you kidding me? Of course not.
Simon, please.
Of course not.
Just how unprofessional you are.
Calling a wrap for today, guys. We'll pick up everything tomorrow.
You don't need to do that.
Mandated breaks.
She'll be fine by tomorrow. It's all right, we'll go home and get a bit of rest. All right?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
There has been a slight change of plans. You're not allowed back on set anymore.
What?
It's all right. I'll sort this out. She's not going on without me, so.
Hey, that's completely fine. And I understand, but we don't need her anymore. She's been replaced.
You can't do that.
Yes, I can. I can do that. Because we're making a film. Very little time to make it. Nobody's going to put up with her drama.
How dare you?
No, let's just go, okay? This
So Brittany and Simon and Sharon arrive home. And Simon and Sharon are very, very sick. And Brittany's like, I'm going to take care of you two. Like, you two are under my wing now. She puts them to bed. Sharon tells Simon that she's worried about her and that Brittany's mood swings are getting worse and worse, which I thought was interesting because we didn't know about her mood swings, really. But I guess maybe now
you notice her highs and lows were very obvious in the press.
I mean, now I'm like dumb about it and I didn't realize it, but you're right. Like, she definitely had like what appeared to be some sort of like mood disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brittany comes in and Simon seems to be having like a seizure in the bed. But it's not. It's like maybe a small heart attack. So Brittany tends to him. She's, you know, very jumpy and happy when she's taking care of him. He asks her if she's okay. She's like, oh, you know, I'm fine. He's like, you're acting manic. So it turns out that she has a premiere called, for a movie called Across the Hall. And he's like, I thought you opted out of it. And she's like, no, I'm going while I'm up. Why not? And he's like, I'm going to go too if you're going, but let's like maybe fix your outfit. Maybe you'll go back to blonde. But it turns out she just goes to the premiere in this outfit. She's great. She's great on the red carpet. So it's like, how do you rise above it all? She's like, high heels. No, seriously. I have a wonderful husband and mom. And in the new year, I won't have a baby. So it's very like, you know, I guess you're right. High highs. So then Brittany looks at her internet for the first time in a long time, and people are still talking about her last films, that she's upset about an SNL sketch that was done of her that people are like really taking as fact. And then she reads she was replaced on Happy Feet 2. And this was like basically the beginning of the very, very end for her. Now we're in December 19th, 2009. Brittany is very, very, very sick in bed. Simon says it's been 2 weeks and she's been this sick. It's getting a lot worse. Brittany refuses to see a doctor. She looks like she's fucking dying. Like, for all this actress has not done, this actress looks like she's really, like, going through it in this scene. Apparently, she hates doctors. Her mom calls for antibiotics. The next morning, Simon wakes up and Brittany is barely able to breathe. She's clearly dying. Brittany gets up and goes into the bathroom. Later, it seems like much later, they hear a crash and Brittany is dead. They go in and her eyes, like she's just dead, eyes open on the floor. They bring her into the shower and sit with her in there before calling an ambulance that brings her away. Then we get this quote that comes up. The coroner's report found that Brittany Murphy died of a combination of pneumonia, chronic anemia, and multiple drug interactions of the over-the-counter pain medications and prescription antibiotics. No illegal drugs were found in the house or in her system. Simon is on the record saying he believes Hollywood killed his wife. 5 months later, Simon also died of pneumonia in the same bedroom, leading speculation that the two were poisoned. The theory remains controversial to this day. And then we go to a quick flashback of Brittany taking her first ever headshots in LA, and then the titles. And that's the end of the Brittany Murphy story.
It's really tragic what happened to her. It's really, really, really awful. And, you know, stuff like this doesn't happen in Hollywood anymore because handlers and being able to control someone's money as their manager or their parent, Brittany has a conservator in her father. And I definitely give him credit for like establishing a process and a procedure for her. So
living proof of this not happening is like how many pop stars, et cetera, are out there that are escaping the Disney machine at this point in their career that used to not. Like Brittany Murphy literally came out here and did an actually legitimate movie, made it.
She did legitimate movies with everybody that was everybody legitimate at that time.
Michael Douglas,
Winona Ryder, Angelina Jolie. Like she was doing film.
Oscar nominated movies.
Yeah. And Eminem. She was in 8 Mile. She was definitely like in this space in life.
I'm high key mad looking back actually that Marshall didn't come back to save her.
Marshall himself will admit that he was under the influence at the time.
He was trying his best. But, like, looking back, I'm like, I wish that if anyone would have, like, come in and white knighted for her, I wish it was Marshall.
I feel like he's made comments about her posthumously. But, like, I feel like Brittany was caught in this era where she wasn't really a huge participant in it, but yet she was thrust into a narrative that can seem consistent with everyone else. And the thing is that I know for a fact that Brittany was not on the scene like a Paris,
right.
Like a Lindsay, like a Brittany.
Well, we all know that. Yeah.
We all know that.
We never got the crotch shot.
Yeah. But everyone else in the world was not seeing that because right. They were coupling her with that crew. And not to talk down to those girls, but I'm just saying that they were living a lifestyle that was conducive to a certain storyline, and Brittany somehow got thrust into
it's also
that.
Not coincidental when like the movie started and like they're showing quotes of people. It's like Alicia Silverstone, and then like who? Paris? Why is Paris Hilton being involved in this? And why is Lindsay Lohan
because
in this?
They,
and I know why. Yeah, it's because like speaking wise, like, yes, of course, like they were in the headlines at the same time.
Right.
But like, these were not girls that like shared a booth with her at Les Deux. Like they probably saw her out at a premiere here, a premiere there. She was always in the tabloids at the same time for being skinny.
Right.
Being famous. Being
and
blonde.
That was a fun thing to talk about then when you weren't talking about Brangelina or anyone else.
That was all there was to talk about.
That was like, all there was to talk about. So that's why I think about, like, there were other people in that era who were doing whatever they accused Britney of. They didn't have the enigmatic quality that Britney had.
Here's the thing, is that I would say that Britney Murphy and Britney Spears were both sort of victims of the sort of, like, okay, if she can sponge up some of our messiness, like, we'll put it on her. Because there that is the reality like of that. Stuff. There's a reality of stuff is that, like, people, like, literally, Tara Reid as well. It's like, she looks messier than we do. Let's put it on her.
Yeah.
Let's let her, like, scoop
she
up.
She can't get into hide, so that makes, this makes perfect sense.
Or, like, she's messier than we are, mm-hmm. and that's why we won't make her get into
exactly.
hide.
Exactly.
And, like, people always look for someone to point the finger to, even if they're just, I mean, I always say, like, you can always tell, like, especially on Real Housewives, like, when people start pointing fingers are like, she's an alcoholic. I'm like, well, actually, you're an alcoholic and you're just freaked out that people are going to find you are. Like, right. That's like, they just, so you're pointing to her because she's the sloppiest drunk. So, like, if you say, like, you know, oh, that girl's, ooh, like Bethany, like being like, oh, Jules is anorexic. Well, Bethany, like, no offense, like, I'm not going to say you're anorexic, but I'm not going to say you have a healthy attitude towards eating. So when you call Jules anorexic, it sure does take the heat off you. Like,
but the thing is like these people cast these networks and these shows and these producers cast people and they put them in a role that they have to either stay in that role for a long enough time and know how to pivot outwardly from that role. And I think when you have, in the case of like a Brittany Murphy, she was never ever subscribing, even when she would try to sort of dabble into that space.
She could never do it well.
I think she could do it well.
Be a socialite. I don't think that was in her bones.
I don't think it's socializing. I think about like when she was in Sin City, and I think about when she did the Paul Oakenfold remix to Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
Right.
I mean, like, those are sex pot roles, druggy roles. When she was in Trixie, when she was in
8 Mile,
Spun. I'll never forget how much they exploited her during Spun. They took her role in a movie that is very low budget and exposed her to bus stands and bus stops and whatever it was, and just sort of highlighted the fact that she plays like a crack whore in this movie. And it was very much like when Anne Hathaway played a crack whore in that other movie. It's like they wanted to see the good girl gone bad.
Right.
And it was a much interesting story to track, if you can track it from the beginning, of a good girl gone bad in the internet era versus like a Britney Spears, where we didn't really have factual evidence. We just had photos, you know, that photo of her shaving her head during her
but with
first
Britney
meltdown.
I would Murphy, I would say she could sell it more than Anne Hathaway did, because she does have that like blue collar roots.
I don't think that the blue collar roots ran that deep. I think they were on a very superficial surface
but she sold
level.
Them better, I would say, than Anne Hathaway, which is something interesting about her as
Kevin
an
James.
Actress. You know what? Oh, no. I'm not saying,
she's
but
not
like
Leah Remini. She can't go
right.
and sell this working class kind
maybe
of
not on a TV
mall,
show, but she
girl.
Certainly did in like 8 Mile.
She
like
did.
In 8 Mile, I was like, okay, I believe this role for her.
I believe that role for her too.
With Anne Hathaway, I feel like maybe, and this is just like the casting of her earlier films. Like with Anne Hathaway, I always look at her and I'm just like, you're just like a college nerd. Like you're just like a collegiate nerd. And like that's not like a slam on her. It's just like, that's what I cast you to believe for most of your career. Or like with Ty, with everyone else that she played in her earlier roots, it was always a little bit more humble, accessible, which is nice about Brittany Murphy, because she can play high, like a come up girl, or she can also play like someone who's down on her luck, or just someone that you just are rooting for.
But I always think about the fact that she was in Freeway, which is one of Reese Witherspoon's early, I mean, one of the reasons why Reese Witherspoon is so excellent
yeah.
at being an actress.
And she is excellent.
Is that she, and early on in her career, showed the dimensions of what her capabilities were. And Freeway is one of those movies. And Brittany Murphy was in that movie. And that movie is very low budget. And that movie, especially considering Reese's career at this point, I'm sure she made it before she was a big, big star, before Fear. It was indicative of like what kind of quality you can expect from a Reese Witherspoon, and Brittany was literally in there delivering too. And that's the problem. That's what perplexes me the most about her death, beyond her not being here right now, is that she was so skilled and can go toe to toe with every single person that she was put up against that was considered at that time the biggest star of that moment.
I think she should get some sort of lifetime achievement for like the limited life that
she had.
I know she'll never get it, but she deserves that. Like, she really did cover like a vast like world of roles, and like did like a lot, high budget, low budget, Oscar winning.
Yeah.
Like, she really did. She covered it. And like, that is all I'd say almost like, you know, one of the many shames of being a woman in Hollywood, especially like a unloved woman in Hollywood, is that like, you know, people would pat themselves on the back to give a guy like Brittany Murphy, like an award. But like with a woman like Brittany Murphy, no. Like,
no. You know, look at how much time we gave. What's the guy, Colin
River
Farrell?
Phoenix?
River Phoenix, that's a whole other
episode.
He's
iconic, but he's not. I would say Brittany Murphy did more with her limited time than River Phoenix did with his.
You can say that about River Phoenix. You can say that about Kurt Cobain. You can say that about Carol Ann, the girl who played Carol Ann in Poltergeist. There was not enough work that came out of such sterling.
Scared.
Oh, that's okay. I've mentioned two horror scream queens in this entire episode. So Heather and Heather. Two Heathers.
You guys, tune into the Heathers.
Tune into the Heathers. But like, no, yeah. Like, listen, I think River Phoenix mattered. I think Kurt Cobain mattered. I think Brittany Murphy mattered.
Oh yeah, she murdered big time. She mattered big time. She was murdered big time, I think.
I don't think it's murder.
Okay. I'll just say that I don't think that there was some friendly hands in play at all points. Like, I think she was overlooked.
She was overlooked.
Though, in her own world, though, I will say minimized and shut away in a way that, like, did not help the way that her death was portrayed. And I think that we publicly do not, like, honor her death as the tragedy that it was, because it seems like there was some, like, you know, there was no direct foul play at hand, but like, it seems like, I think that the foul play that was involved has been put into her hands. And I don't think it was entirely the case. I think that she wasn't necessarily led very well. And considering she was a minor when she was brought into this business, and like, I don't think anyone did her wrong intentionally necessarily, but I also don't think she was done right by. And like, it makes me feel very like bad about her death. I feel quite bad about it. Like, I would hate to think that if I died under similar circumstances, that people would be like, it was all on Molly. You know, like maybe it was. Like maybe because I was a legal adult or whatever. But
think about when she died. There was a huge shift in her, in when her, the way her death was covered, and the way we'd reached like a new era post Michael Jackson. Post Britney Spears meltdown.
Yeah.
Post Britney, Paris, Lindsay in the limo. Like, or in the town car on their way to whatever party. We'd reached another level of like, you know, the expectation was that there was something nefarious that happened. Do I think something nefarious happened? No. I actually really think that it was just overlooking.
Yeah.
I think that somebody was just like asleep at the wheel and not really taking into consideration that what she was
maybe the villain is us.
The villain was maybe us.
Yeah. Maybe we got to look in the mirror if we're going to look for the villain.
She was giving us every
indication. Maybe start with a quote from our man Michael Jackson. Start with the man in the mirror.
Start with the man in the mirror.
You were right. You were to bring up Michael. That was absolutely right. You were
asking him to make that change.
You say, hey, man, you got to make some changes.
Yeah.
And it starts with you, my friend.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right now.
Winter, do you know what ultimately we do on this show here? No, you don't. What's your favorite movie of all time? What do you think is the best movie that's ever been made? Oscar winner, loving it. Best spiritual moment. It doesn't have to be an Oscar winner. Spiritually spoke to you, fucking on every level. Dialogue, wardrobe, everything. Like, you're just like, this fucking murdered my life. Best movie.
I mean, it's an easy one because I just scanned everything I love, and it's really Working Girl.
Okay, good. Perfect. Perfect. So when we do our scale, Working Girl is a 1.
Okay.
And Mother May I Sleep With Danger is a 5.
Okay.
We're trying to see if this movie is not lifetimey at all. Very good Working Girl. Or if this is very lifetimey.
Oh, it's a definitely Mother May I Sleep With Danger.
Well, we're going to go through a scale.
Okay.
So On a scale of working girl to Mother May I Sleep with Danger, a 5, 1 through 5. Is this a 1 through 5 on acting?
Definitely a 5.
No, it doesn't. We can't go that hard.
Why can't we go that hard?
You think it was that bad?
It's terrible.
Ashton was good.
Okay, 4.
All right, fine.
Ashton saved a point.
Believability of the world and characters. Now, because this is a real life movie, I'm going to say, honestly, for me, this is a 2. Because, yes, it's unbelievable, some of the things that happened, but this is a real world, and these were real characters. If I'm going to, like...
3.
I'm going to give this a 2.5. I just know you're going to go way too hard. Creative use of words to avoid censorship. Like, dang it, instead of, like, damn. We didn't really get that in this movie. This is, like, kind 2. Of a 2. Okay, good. There you go, Winter. Okay, dialogue. Overall, this is 4. Really bad. This was bad. This is a 4. This is a 4 for dialogue. Wardrobe. This is, like, not that bad.
2.
I would honestly say, yeah, this isn't a bad... Thank you, Winter.
2.
This is not bad. But hair and makeup... This is a 4.
Oh, I was going to give it a 3.
The wigs.
Wigs were shitty in that era.
Wigs were... No, but like literally...
Lace front is an
this
industry.
Was 2. This was 3 years ago that they made this.
Yeah, and they're using 20 old wigs.
No, I'm doing a 3.
Okay, I can just give it a 2.5.
Okay, music. They had really good music in this. They licensed 2 3. Songs. They licensed 2 whole 3. Songs.
Better than any other, right, other TV movie.
Crying.
Recently.
We never got the big Tori Spelling crying jag. I feel for me this is a 2 or a 1.
I would give it a 3.
We're going to make a 2.
I'm giving it a 3.
Victimization of the female character.
I mean, it's a 4.
Okay, it's a 4. Refusal or failure and or refusal to jump to the logical conclusion.
Oh, God, this is a 5.
This is a 5 for you, okay. It's a 5 for Winter. That'll be a nah for me, dog. A 5 for Winter. Okay, there it is. Drop plot lines. I think they carried it all through. This is probably like a 2 for me.
The drop plot lines occur to me when they time-lapse too far.
The heart, the cancer. Yeah. You're right. The heart, the cancer. Why is she suddenly afraid of police? Like, you're
and
right.
And also, you were banging Ashton like on a Monday.
3. Let's do 3. That was bad.
3 fortnights later, you're not?
Yeah, let's give it a 3. 3 fortnights.
He didn't want to. He wanted to go to Tao. You didn't want to go to Tao that night.
She didn't want to fuck. And also, she didn't want to see Ja Rule
doing his whatchamacallit there that night, his residency in New York. Ja Rule. At the era, he was doing a residency at Tao. I don't know that for sure, but I just feel like in 2004 or 5, Ja Rule was doing a residency.
She wanted to stay home, and she could have fucked Ashton, and she did it.
And she was like, nah.
I understand that point, and I understand that message, and I'm here for it.
I feel like she was like, but he's exhausting. And she would be.
He's exhausting. He's like Justin Timberlake. Where Brittany's just like, can I just fuck Wade Robson? Wade, boring ass Robson for 1 night. This fucking idiot, I'll fuck him. He's not going to keep me up all night with his fucking Bullwinkle impressions. You know, just until we're like fucking popping around the bed with a Bullwinkle impression, like just being so fucking annoying. She's like, I'm sleeping. I would have had my period if I hadn't been taking my birth control straight through. Like, I want to die.
I have pain guttural. That is guttural.
I have $20 million in the bank, and I literally, the thrill of my life is spending $4 on a Frappuccino and $20 on a bad fedora. Like, let me be. Like, let me fucking sleep. Like, I have nothing. Like,
I want to go to the counter, and then I want to go to Coffee Bean Tea Leaf right after that.
Exactly. Okay, so font for this movie. I would say it's like basically came straight out of Final Cut, but it seemed professional. It looked like kind of like John Grisham, like on the posters on the movie.
It's Palatino.
It looked like a John Grisham sort of
It was
moment.
Palatino.
Palatino. Okay, oh my what are you going to give that shit? You're going to give that a 3?
I'm going to give that a 3, yeah. It's definitely Palatino.
Okay, so we got Palatino in the mix. Sammy, take your time because I know we ran back and forth on those scores a little bit. 41.5, which is, I would say, a pretty fucking high number. That might be, if not the highest, the second highest for the season, possibly one of the highest of all times. Winty Mitch, you just delivered so hard. I have to say, I'm crying right now. My allergies hurt so bad.
This was so amazing.
Wags has finally decided to take a nap.
And is chilled considerably.
He's like, Mom, he's not the having ghost this of anymore. Britt
Murph up
he's
in
like,
here.
Literally, I get it. Now we're talking about a dead lady. Fuck, Mom. I'm sorry. Oh, you said 8 Mile. Oh shit, she's that girl who got.
I love that movie. And when I love like, that
fingered
movie.
Her in the alley in 8 Mile. My God, I'm so sorry, Mom. I'm so sorry. Did you have fun doing this podcast?
So much.
I'm. It's did embarrassing. You didn't know how much of a thing this was before you came.
I assumed most, and I got more. Than I bargained for.
We're gonna
I give this podcast a Mother May I Sleep with Danger 7.
What I'm gonna tell you though is that what we're gonna do is handcuff you to the fireplace and you have to stay for another 3 hours after this. So if you thought that was it, you just have to quietly sleep down here for like 3 hours and then I'll let you go.
A Stephen King to a Richard, what's his pen name?
What?
Stephen King has a pen name, I think.
Anyway. A pen name?
Maybe. I
was that
know.
Like a pin code? Like
I'm
for...
a little same. It's two different business okay. accounts.
Well, I love you so much.
I love you too.
Thank you for coming here. You guys, you were blessed with Winter Mitchell. I don't know if she'll ever come back. She's getting married. God knows if I was getting married right now. Oh, God. Oh, my God. So sorry. God knows if I was getting married. Bucks. These are beautiful invitations. I would never recommend this to a friend. Like, why would you
somebody put on Instagram, use that as a blotting paper and Instagrammed it. That was the most fiercest at Marcus Molinari, one of my favorite people
Marcus,
and best friends.
Marcus, you fucking slayed.
Slayed.
But you guys, if you ever, like, don't, I will help you with your wedding. I can't tell you I can make it any less than $6 per invitation, but I will tell you, I just want you to have a nice life. You're going to have a nice life.
I'm going to have a nice life.
Okay, then the paper was all worth it. I'm so excited to go see you at your wedding. I'm so excited that you did this podcast. Thank you so much for coming and doing this.
Especially, I enjoy it.
Like, this meant so much to me because I've really wanted to do this movie and there's no better person to have done it with than you.
What?
Why are you laughing, bitch? Because I'm crying?
No, you're crying, not real.
No, I'm just crying.
I really liked doing this because it felt good to talk about. Something that's near and dear and close.
You're near and dear and close to me. And
I love you. And do it with somebody I love.
Bitch, I love you so much.
I love
you
so much.
I'm so excited you guys do this. Will you stay and have a quick little snacky?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, we love you. Wags, do you want to say? You ruined this episode for a lot of people. Okay, he's hateful. He's rude.
Tonight.
He's never learned. He's on his fucking Britney endotopic pregnancy period.
Shave his head and Sherman Oaks.
I know. Do you have endometriosis, Wags? He does. He straight up does. I think I do. So he must have it too as my son.
100%. It's also a full moon.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I love you guys. Thank you, Sammy. Thank you. I'm so sorry, everyone. Thank you for listening to season 3 of Mother May I Sleep With podcast. Our show today was made possible by our coordinating producer, Nicole Matthew, as well as our producer, Sammy Junio. Much love to Christina Lopez for all of her help and Elizabeth Brozek for that killer logo. We love it when new listeners find our show, and the best way for that to happen is landing in the Apple podcast charts. You can help us out with that by making sure you're subscribed to the show, and if you want, leave a review. And if you really want to support the show, you can head to our Patreon, patreon.com/MMISWP. For information on our ranking system, episode details, and social media, head to MotherMayISleepWithPodcast.com. I'm your host, Molly McAleer. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram under MOLLS, Malls. And if not there, on my couch, binging Lifetime movies. See you next time.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it.
Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.